I'm ready to go whenever you are.
Okay. And we are live, correct?
You asked me.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين وإمام المرسلين حبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. I would like to welcome everyone to tonight's special Ilminar being brought to you by Al Maghrib Institute and Islamic Relief Worldwide. My name is Farhan Abdulaziz and I am a fundraiser for Islamic Relief, and also I am a member of Qabila Ittihad in Michigan, and I've taken several classes in Al Maghrib, alhamdulillah. And so I'm going to be your moderator for tonight's event. And the topic for tonight's event, as you know, is hikmah, using wisdom in trying times. And the goal of this event is essentially twofold. One is to answer the question of what can we do as Muslims when trials strike, when tribulations strike, what is it that we can do to help the ummah? And this is a common conversation that people have, a common dinner time conversation that occurs between youth and their parents, when we're always advised to use hikmah. And so, inshallah ta'ala, Sheikh Yasir Qadhi and Sheikh Muhammad Sharif will be touching on this topic. And the second goal is, as you know, to fundraise for Gaza, to help those in need. Now, our goal for tonight is to collect $55,000. That's $55,000 from all our listeners today, inshallah ta'ala. And all that money is going to go towards medical supplies and helping those who have been struck by the incidents in Gaza. And I just want to maybe give you just a brief synopsis before we introduce Sheikh Muhammad Sharif to give his talk about how the event's going to flow. So we're going to begin with Sheikh Muhammad Sharif, and he's going to give his presentation. Following that, we'll have Sheikh Yasir Qadhi give his presentation. And then we have Dr. Hani Al-Banna. He's the founder of Islamic Relief, a co-founder of Islamic Relief, and he's going to be talking about what they're doing in Gaza. And we'll be answering, inshallah ta'ala, some questions that we can get clarified in terms of how we're operating in Gaza with the limitations that are there, and whatnot. And before we begin as well, I would just like to share with you some of the facts of what's happening in Gaza, because we're here and our hearts are connected to what's happening in Gaza. Most people do not have running water or electricity. The United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs has said that the entire Gaza Strip is on the verge of collapse. The United Nations has said that this situation is absolutely disastrous, and even the international community of the Red Cross has said that Gaza Strip faces a full-blown humanitarian crisis. Now, there is a severe shortage of medical supplies, of fuel, and food and cooking gas. There's also, the majority of families are using candles to light their homes. And as you know, and you've seen on the news, that the hospitals are overcrowded and they have limited supplies to cope with what's going on. And they have no electricity. They're running on backup generators, which are low on fuel as well. And so the situation is getting critical, as it has already gotten critical. And so having said that, I want you to keep that in mind before we begin, because Sheikh Muhammad Sharif and Sheikh Yasir Qadhi are going to be talking about what we can do to help. And on the screen, you can see the Donate Now button. And anytime you feel you want to donate, you can go ahead and do so. Click the Donate Now button, and then it'll take you to a link where you can click, whether you're from the U.S., the Canada, or the U.K., you click the link, the appropriate link, and you can donate online. And we'll be tracking, inshallah, out of the donations that we're getting and giving you updates as we go along. And again, our goal is to reach 55,000. Now, our first speaker is Sheikh Muhammad Sharif, and many of you know Sheikh Muhammad Sharif. He was born in 1975 and raised in Canada. In his youth, he memorized the Quran and later graduated with an Islamic law degree from the Islamic University of Medina, class of 1999. He's the founder of the Maghrib Institute, through which he teaches university-level seminars on Islam. And the Maghrib Institute seminars have now been conducted across the USA, Canada, and the UK. And while Sheikh Muhammad continues to teach, he also devotes much of his time to recruiting, training, and advising other students of knowledge in becoming Al Maghrib Institute's instructors. Being a true visionary with exceptional talents and motivating others, Sheikh Muhammad al-Sharif has founded Iman Rush Audio and Khutbah.com and actively keeps in touch with the online community on the Al Maghrib forums. Currently, Muhammad Sharif lives with his family in Ottawa, Canada. Having said that, inshallah ta'ala, Sheikh Muhammad Sharif will be beginning his speech.
JazakAllah khair. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه من ولا أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Let's begin by giving an analogy, a situation of a man standing on a seashore, and he sees that the tides have become very intense and very high, and in that tide he sees a fish that's been caught and it's unable to swim back into the sea. So this man is standing at the shore, and he's looking at this fish, and he becomes overwhelmed with emotion. His eyes start to tear, almost like he's watching Al Jazeera or CNN or something like that, not CNN. And so he decides to do something about the situation. He can't just let the fish die like that. So what he does is he runs into the water against the waves, and he grabs the fish by the tail and starts dragging it out of the water, saving it from the water, brings it to the shore, and slams it on the beach shore, happy that he had saved it from the water. Dear brothers and sisters, this little folktale or fable gives us a glimpse of what it's like to react emotionally. Because when people react emotionally and not with hikmah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us to, then they do things that don't necessarily hit the mark and hit the target. Let me give you a glimpse of what the word hikmah, because a lot of people, they'll say hikmah, and then they'll translate it typically as wisdom, right? Let's have wisdom. But hikmah is more than wisdom. And the word wisdom, even when you think of wisdom in our English language, it just sounds like a word where people are talking about some, some wise man, basically, who is just giving advice. But wisdom is more than that. So let me give you this glimpse from the Arabic language. The word hikmah, one of its meanings has to deal with a horse. And the reins of a horse are called hakama, the reins of a horse. And the reins of the horse are there to protect the rider in case the horse, gallops away or starts to jump up and down or starts going in the wrong direction. The reins of the horse in Arabic are called hakama. And it has that root in hikmah, meaning that it keeps a person on track and so they don't lose control. In the Sharia, there's different definitions for hikmah, but one of the definitions I think, could help us easily understand what this word hikmah means is hikmah is to know the truth and act upon it. Hikmah, what we typically translate as wisdom, is to know the truth and act upon it. So that's different than just us telling people, be wise, be wise. It's more of, you need to know the truth of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger want from us, and to act upon that, that's hikmah. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, يُؤْتِ الْحِكْمَةَ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُؤْتِ الْحِكْمَةَ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He gives the hikmah. As we said, knowledge and, acting upon that knowledge, or knowing the truth and acting upon it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that to whomever He wishes. وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ. Whoever is given this wisdom, فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا, that indeed they've been given a lot. When it comes to hikmah and the whole issue of being wise, actually, in this Gaza crisis and in issues that have come up in the past, and there's always issue after issue with the Muslims, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, there's two things that I find are misconceptions that the community has. One of them is the issue of this topic on hikmah, and the other issue is the issue of when people say, make dua for your brothers. Make dua for your brothers and sisters. So let me address the hikmah issue first. The hikmah issue, when people say, we should have hikmah during these times, some people think that hikmah only means to respond with gentle words. That's not necessarily the full meaning of hikmah. As we said, that hikmah is to know the truth and act upon it. So hikmah in certain moments, could be to respond with patience and to respond with softness. In other moments, it could be someone giving a lecture in which the person is telling the people, I warn you of hellfire. right? And actually, it might even spark fear in the people to change their lives. That would be hikmah. The person knows that this is the time that the people need to fear because they're going upon, you know, the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also giving them hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hikmah could also be argumentation and debate. So a person might be arguing with others and debating with them, obviously taking higher ground, but that's the hikmah, is that the person uses argumentation and debate to get the message of, across. As the people of Nuh said to Nuh alayhi salam, قَالُوا يَا نُوحُ قَدْ جَادَلْتَنَا فَأَكْثَرْتَ جِدَالَنَا. They said, O Nuh, you've argued with us, you've done jidal, and you've debated with us, فَأَكْثَرْتَ جِدَالَنَا. And you were excessive in your debating with us. And so that was the hikmah that Nuh alayhi salam was given in his da'wah, was to debate excessively with the people. And then sometimes hikmah requires that a person be harsh in their tone and disciplinary. So for example, a mother with her child, very often, you know, a child is doing something harmful to themselves. It might be the grandparents or some friends that will tell the parents, you know, let the child go, don't let them. But the mother will do something, might even make the child cry, but she's doing it out of hikmah. She knows how to protect her child, and she's doing that to make sure that the child in the long term is doing that which benefits them. So hikmah encompasses all of this. It's to know the truth and to act upon it. And to know the truth requires that someone learns the truth. A lot of times we try, you know, we skip on halaqas, we skip on classes, we skip on Al-Maghrib Institute seminars. And then what happens in the end is that when you need that knowledge, it's not available. Because at an earlier time, a time when the person could have developed their hikmah, now when they need it, it's not available. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from being that person who grabs that fish out of the water and throws them onto the shore. The other issue, a misconception that happens in the community, is this issue of dua. When someone says, make dua for your brothers and sisters, a lot of times someone will respond to that saying, you know, oh, that's just, you know, the pacifist way of, you know, responding to situations, something like that. They belittle the issue of dua, the issue of raising one's hand and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you've heard me in previous calls, you know, some of you haven't heard me, but you'll hear me bring up this issue of dua like every Ramadan and all the time, that dua is the foundation of your development, of your soul, of everything in your life. Dua is that foundation. And so the life that you want to live, you want to make dua for that. And when there's a situation that's happening overseas or wherever it's happening, and there's situations that happen in our communities and all around the world, it starts with dua first. It starts with dua first, and then the more sincerely, the more energetically the person makes dua, the more the person does that, the more those things become a reality. So let me give you this example. Let's suppose there's a sister who has... let's imagine that she's not married and she craves and desires to have children, all right? And in salah, in her qiyamul layl, in all her prayers, she raises her hands to Allah, Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyiba innaka samiu du'a. She makes that dua sincerely, asking Allah to bless her with children. Now, what would this woman do? If she's sincere in her dua and she does it excessively, she knows that she needs to get married in order to have children. She knows that there's certain method, you know, things have to happen in order for a child, so she will take out that process. If she's sincere in her dua, she'll move forward in that progression. So when someone says, make dua for your brothers and sisters, if the dua is sincere and it's happening consistently, then as an ummah we can move forward in correcting the situation that they're in. And I want to say that number one, I don't think this is mentioned, but it's not mentioned too often, that one of the most important things that you can do, myself and yourself and all of us, to help the situation, is for us personally to do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To do istighfar, to repent to Allah for our own sins. So a person might be committing a sin, and they would say to themselves, how can I commit this sin when my brothers and sisters are in the situation that they're in? As Nuh alayhi salam, and this is also in his dawah to his people, he's complaining to Allah about the situation of what he told them and that they didn't follow and listen to him. He said, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. He said, I told them to repent to their Lord. إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. He's the oft forgiver. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. He'll send the skies down, you know, send the torrents of rain down for them. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. And he will give you more and more of wealth and more of children. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ. And he will make for you gardens. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. And he'll make rivers that, you know, feed to those gardens and make it prosper. And so number one, as we said, this issue of hikmah, it encompasses much more than just the typical definition of wisdom, what it means. As we said, that hikmah is to have knowledge and act upon it. The issue of dua is something much more intense and much more deeper than, you know, what people belittle it to be. Dua is the essence of everything that we're doing. It starts from our dua, and inshallah ta'ala, with istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the situation can change. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, many familiar with this ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. That Allah won't change the situation of the people until they themselves change what's in their hearts. And so a lot of times we wait, you know, when is the situation going to change? But Allah is telling us that it's in our hands. Allah is telling us, again, that it's in our hands to change the situation by changing ourselves. Changing ourselves. So when someone says, what can you do? In fact, it's very interesting. How can you help the people of Gaza? You help them by developing your own taqwa to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, someone might say, no, they need more immediate help, and we'll deal with that, the immediate help and so on. But long term for the ummah, it takes all of us to dedicate to spending time developing our souls, developing our bodies, developing our minds in order to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to cultivate this earth. I want to give you an example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and this hikmah as we're talking about, how it translates. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of his children died, Ibrahim. And in fact, all of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's children died in his lifetime except Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Ibrahim was a little boy, a baby, and he passed away. And in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hands, his son was dying. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was crying. And one of the companions asked him about those tears. And he said in response, تَدْمَعُ الْعَيْنِ وَيَحْزَنُ الْقَلْبِ. He said that the eyes tear and the heart is in pain. Okay, let me say that again. The eyes tear and the heart is in pain. وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يُرْضِي رَبُّنَا. And he said, but we will not say anything except that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, that we won't say anything except that which is pleasing to Allah. That's hikmah. That's to know the truth and act upon it. Meaning that the emotions don't lead the person to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The emotions don't lead a person to act irrationally. Hikmah is, even though the emotions are there, a person will cry and the heart will pain, but they will do what is pleasing to Allah azza wa jal. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that your enmity, right? If you're angry at some people or there's angry, don't let that anger push you towards not fulfilling justice. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though there might be people that we're angry with, it doesn't mean we go and perform injustice. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. Allah says, don't let that enmity make, you know, push you towards doing injustice. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِعْدِلُوا. He said, do justice. هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. It's closer to taqwa. That is the justice. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, that it's not about emotions. Obviously we have the emotions, but the hikmah, just like the reins of that horse, it holds the horse in position, so that it only does that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is not overstepping the bounds of that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all that hikmah. I'm coming to the conclusion, inshallah ta'ala, and I'd like to give some more time for Sheikh Yasser Qadhi and Dr. Benna to give their point of it. But I'd like to mention this situation that happened in the Battle of Al-Qadisiyah. The Muslims were victorious in the Battle of Al-Qadisiyah, and when the messenger came back to the Khalifa Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Umar was asking him about those who had died, those who had been killed shaheed in the Battle of Al-Qadisiyah. So the messenger told him, you know, companion so-and-so and companion so-and-so and this person and that person, and Umar radiyallahu anhu was praying for all of them. As each name was being mentioned, he prayed for all of them. And then Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu heard the messenger say, وَخَلْقٌ لَا نَعْلَمُهُمْ. And the messenger said, and there's so many people that died in the Battle of Al-Qadisiyah, he said, we don't know who they are. We don't know who they are. And Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he started crying. He said, as human beings, this is my comment, as human beings, we don't know who they are. But this is what Umar radiyallahu anhu said as he cried, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُهُمْ. But rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who they are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who those people are. So dear brothers and sisters, you're going to donate today, inshallah ta'ala, big or small, and inshallah ta'ala, hopefully it's big. But no matter what, I want you to realize that maybe nobody will know that you donated. Maybe you might not get a letter from an orphan thanking you, or some Palestinian family sending you, thankfully, maybe you won't get that. But let me tell you this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what you donated. And it's your intention, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring that barakah back into your life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to change our situation until we change that which is in ourselves. And one of the most beautiful things about sadaqah, the most beautiful things about it, is that when we're talking about wealth and money, the only wealth that really and truly belongs to you is that which you give in sadaqah. Everything else doesn't belong to you. The food that you eat is gone. The house that you live in, you know, gets destroyed, or, you know, someone purchases it after you. Everything, your clothes, you go into your grave with nothing except the money that you gave as sadaqah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases it up to 700 times. Increases it up to 700 times. Sometimes when it, anyhow, let me just let that go. Okay, inshallah ta'ala, I know Farhan's going to be doing the fundraising, but I'd like to start the fundraising off. All right, this is, you know, alhamdulillah, my, I get to take advantage of that.
You're more than welcome, Sheikh.
What's that?
You're more than welcome, too.
Okay, jazakallah khairan. Okay, so the target for tonight, inshallah ta'ala, is 55,000. Is it 55,000?
Yes.
Okay, so as soon as I heard that, I balked at that. I said, only 55,000. We can do better than that, inshallah ta'ala. And again, whether someone knows that you donated or not, it's between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what you're going to give. And so I had the intention to give this donation actually just about like a week ago. And for some reason I got delayed, and then this issue came up in the Ilmanar, and I thought, subhanAllah, it would be a great opportunity to start off the fundraiser with. And my intention is this, inshallah ta'ala, that, you know, from my donation, my personal donation, I hope, inshallah ta'ala, it can give you motivation, and inshallah ta'ala, that can, I'll get the ajr for your donations too. Inshallah ta'ala. Ajr, so I'm going to start the fundraiser off, inshallah ta'ala, with $10,000, inshallah ta'ala. And that's from my own pocket. That's not something someone gave to me. I start off with $10,000, and I challenge you to match it, inshallah ta'ala. All right? And so Farhan's going to take it from here, but we'll start it off. And I actually want to do like a little competition, because we have Islamic Relief Canada, and we have Islamic Relief the USA. Do we have Islamic Relief UK as well?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. Let's do a challenge between UK, Canada, and the U.S., who is more generous, who is more kareem. I stand on the Canadian side. So Canada is at 10,000. Let's see what everybody else can do, inshallah ta'ala. And we'll announce to everybody who won, who was the most generous of the three, UK, Canada, or the U.S., inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan. You can take it, Farhan.
Okay. Sheikh Mohammed Sharif. Alhamdulillah, I've had the opportunity to take 3 classes with Sheikh Mohammed, and I also met him in Medina. I was there for a few days when I went to Hajj in 2006. And alhamdulillah, I met him in Masjid Nabawi, and that was a nice experience. And it's funny because some of the things he said, I was going to say myself. And the first thing is that the competition, because I have studied from Sheikh Mohammed, and so we learned from him. And we are, inshallah, having a competition between the 3 countries, between the U.S., the U.K., and Canada. Now, Islamic Relief is giving us live updates as we're on the call of how much we're getting. But we're getting updates from Canada and the U.K., and we're not, unfortunately, getting updates from the U.S. And so we are, inshallah ta'ala, going to be still having the competition. But with the U.S. numbers, we're going to get to you tomorrow, and it'll be posted on the forums. There's a thread on the forums in the announcement section that has been started. So those of you who are listening online, you can go to the forums and post there and encourage others to donate. Do whatever you can. If you have money, donate that way. If you can encourage other people with your words, do so. But it will make a difference, inshallah ta'ala. And then, again, we'll have the final tally tomorrow. Today we'll know who won between the UK and Canada. And so far, obviously, Sheikh Mohammed Sharif, mashallah, just gave $10,000. May Allah accept me, Sheikh Mohammed. And so Canada is obviously in the lead. And again, our goal is $55,000. We're shooting for the money is going towards medical supplies. And if you want to donate, again, on the page you're seeing, just click Donate Now. And then the page that it links to, make sure to click which country you're from. So if you're from the UK, click the UK link, et cetera, et cetera. And before we begin with Sheikh Yasir Qadhi, I actually wanted to share with you a story. And that is from one of the Islamic Relief fundraisers who I knew, one of the imams in the U.S., who I knew previously when he joined Islamic Relief. And he was in Philistine. In Philistine, he met a sister, right, in one of the areas where relief work was going on. And the sister came to him and asked him for some money. And so the sheikh told the sister, "What do you need the money for?" He asked her that question. And so the sister replied. She said that, "Brother, you see this khimar that I'm wearing on my head? The khimar, yani the hijab. You see the khimar that I'm wearing?" She said, "I have worn the same khimar for the last 3 years of my life. And it is small on me, and so when I wear it, it gives me a headache. So now, I was asking you for some money so I may purchase a new khimar." That's the situation they were in previous to this, previous to December 27th when the incursion began. Imagine, she doesn't have money to buy a khimar. Do you think she has money for pens and pencils and books and backpacks? Do you think she has money to have and enjoy a nice meal? Right, it's 7:15 p.m. Eastern time was when we began the event. Most people, at least in the U.S. and the eastern side, have already eaten dinner. Can you think, now think about this for a second, when is the last time that one of our brothers and sisters in Philistine ate that same kind of quality of a meal? And when you think about it, you realize that it's been too long that we've been away from our brothers and sisters and helping them as much as we can. And so I want to mention that to you before we begin with Sheikh Yasser's speech, to have you keep that in the back of your mind. The pictures are playing on the slides and you see them. And as you're listening to Sheikh Mohammed, as you listen to Sheikh Yasser, and as you listen to Dr. Al-Banna speak about what's happening and what we can do, keep in mind that one of the obvious ways that Sheikh Mohammed mentioned is to give financially. And so click on the Donate Now button and don't hold back. Our goal is 55,000. And now here's how it's going to work. I need 10 people to give $1,000 apiece. Now I can't count you, right? But what I can do is when the donations are given in, I'm going to get the update and I'm going to let you know. I need 10 people to give 1,000. I need 30 people to give 500. And I need 300 people to give $100 apiece. And everybody else on the call, everyone who's on the call, you are required, inshallah ta'ala, to give something before you leave the call. Something, even if it's $1. But knowledge leads to action. So as we're listening, let us open our hearts and give for what we can, inshallah ta'ala, for our brothers and sisters who are suffering in Gaza. Now, our next speaker is Sheikh Yasser Qadi. Sheikh Yasser is a favorite in Al-Maghrib, and many of you know him and have taken classes with him. Myself, alhamdulillah, I've taken one class with Sheikh Yasser and benefited immensely from his knowledge. Now, Sheikh Yasser was born in Houston, Texas, and he completed his primary and secondary education in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. He graduated with a BSc in Chemical Engineering from the University of Houston, after which he was accepted as a student to the Islamic University of Medina. After completing his diploma in Arabic, he graduated with a BA from the College of Hadith and Islamic Sciences, and thereafter he completed a master's in Islamic Theology from the College of Da'wah. He has many published works, including Riya, The Hidden Shirk, Dua, Weapon of the Believer, and An Introduction to the Sciences of the Quran. Sheikh Yasser, he is currently pursuing his doctorate in religious studies at Yale University in New Haven, Connecticut. And so without further ado, I would like to introduce Sheikh Yasser Qadi.
Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me, Brother Farhan?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala amma ba'd. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, wallahi, in the last 2 weeks, ever since the situation has started, I have been thinking about the situation very, very deeply, and I have been bombarded from so many different sides about so many different issues and so many questions that are in the minds of brothers, especially those who are living in the West or those who are somehow connected to the West and in touch with us over here. And to be honest with you, I do not have all the solutions. I do not have all the answers. For those of you who attend my lectures, you know very well that many times I raise issues without giving you the answers, because these are issues that we do need to understand. Even if we don't finalize the answers, we do need to formulate them, and we do need to understand the problems. Because if we don't know what the problem is, if we don't know how to formulate the question even, if we don't know what the issue is, then how do we ever expect to get to the final answer? And so in today's short talk, I will discuss some of these things. But before I get there, I wanted to remind myself and all of you that the purpose of this life is to achieve the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I say this even though it is so self-evident and it is so simple. I say this because I find many of our younger brothers, they know this, but they simply don't let this fact enter their hearts. The purpose of this life is to achieve the pleasure of Allah. It is not necessarily to achieve political victory. It is not necessarily the establishment of a powerful state. It is not necessarily to see the laws of Islam in and of themselves in our lifetimes established. That is not the immediate goal. The immediate goal, in fact, the eternal goal for each individual is to achieve the pleasure of Allah. And what that translates into is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place specific individuals in specific situations, some of them easier, some of them more difficult, some of them in times of ease, some of them in times of discomfort, some of them in times of izzah and honor and glory, and others in times of zul and humiliation, some of them in lands of the Muslims and others in lands of the non-Muslims. Allah will place each and every one of us in a specific situation. And you know what? The goal of all of our situations is the same. And that is to achieve the pleasure of Allah and to enter Jannah and save ourselves from the fire of hell. As Allah says in the Quran, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. Whoever saves himself from the fire of hell and enters Jannah, he is the one who is victorious. وَذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And that is the ultimate victory. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, wallahi, these facts are so simple. But have you ever thought of a very, very fundamental problem? And that is, each and every one of us have the same goal, but you know what? We're all in different situations. Which means, what we do in those situations will be different. What we do in response to our specific, individual, custom-made, tailor-designed by Allah situations, what we do, what we react, will be different according to who we are, where we are, what we're capable of doing. So even though the goal is same, Allah is testing us in different ways. And Allah Azza wa Jal is testing us to see how we achieve that goal. So the point that I'm trying to start off with is, I'm speaking primarily to Western, American, British, Canadian Muslims. And we are a very different niche from other Muslims. Other Muslims living in the East, living in Muslim lands, they have a different situation. They have a different, they have different problems and different positives and negatives, different pros and cons. We here in America, I'm speaking from America, I'm Muhammad Shaykh in Canada, others are from England. We in the Western world have a very different situation. And we do need to act in accordance with our situation to see the overall long-term goal. Remember the purpose of these trials and tribulations. I know many of you have listened to some khutab or durus that I have online, but to reiterate some of that information on there, remember we are living in times of fitna. We are living in times of trials and tribulations, and in fact it is true to say that every time is a time of trial and tribulation. There is no time except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests and tries people in that time. In fact, in the very earliest surahs revealed in Mecca, one of them being Surah Ar-Rum, and Surah Ar-Rum was revealed within the first 5 years of the prophetic message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the very famous question, Alif Lam Mim, حَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. That Alif Lam Mim, did mankind think that they would be left alone? They would be left alone without being tested and tried just by saying that they believe? Did mankind think that Allah will not test and try them through fitan? Because Allah says, of a surety, we have tried those before you, to see those who are truthful and those who are not truthful. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Allah has tested and tried those before us, and Allah will test and try us as well. So, my dear brothers and sisters, we are witnessing fitan. We are witnessing great, grave fitan. Fitan that, in all honesty, it makes our blood boil. Sometimes it makes us go mad with grief. And we sympathize with the father of Yusuf in what he went through when he lost his son Yusuf. We sympathize with so many of the other prophets. And we notice that, subhanAllah, how difficult is it to act rationally when our emotions are so charged up. And yet we do notice that all of those prophets, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they all acted looking at the long-term goals and not the short-term solutions. We all know what happened after the incident of Ta'if, when our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given the option of showing his anger and also of showing mercy. Imagine, he had the power to demonstrate his anger. Imagine he had the power without suffering any further consequences, and yet he declined. How much more so, my dear brothers and sisters, when we don't have that power, and were we to unjustly exert some type of power to do something, it would in fact be to our own detriment and our own harm. Brothers and sisters, I am getting emails and phone calls and meeting people. They are so angry, they don't know what to do. You know, I don't know what to do overall, but I do know we have to act with wisdom. Like Sheikh Muhammad Sharif said, we have to act with hikmah. I don't know what necessarily the best steps are, but I do know that definitely amongst the best steps are increasing our own iman and making dua and giving sadaqah and following the affairs and news of what is happening all over the world. These are amongst the best responses we can do, and wallahi, nothing that we do can be more effective than increasing our own iman and taqwa. Nothing, and there is absolutely no exception, nothing that we do can be more effective than increasing our own iman and taqwa and leaving our own sins, or at least minimizing them to the greatest extent possible. So my dear brothers and sisters, we are living through times of trial and tribulation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us through fitan. And many of you remember that the meaning of fitna is to examine. The meaning of fitna is to test. And that is why the goldsmith is called the examiner, the fattan, the one who causes a fitna. Because the goldsmith throws in the raw ore, the ore that contains pure gold, along with impurities, along with dirt and sand and rocks. The fattan, the goldsmith, throws in this raw ore into the furnace, not to burn the gold, but to purify it. Not to inflict any punishment on this gold, but rather to make sure that what comes out is pristine and 100% pure. We are currently undergoing a crisis in the ummah. Many crises. Of them are emotional. Of them are intellectual. Of them are physical. And the crisis in Gaza definitely is on the top list of what crises, what fitna are happening in the world right now. What greater fitna is there than to see women and children and innocent men being tortured, being killed, bombs being thrown on them, buildings collapse, young girls and boys without fathers and mothers, or sometimes they themselves are the ones who get killed as collateral damage. We see this in the news. We see these pictures. And wallahi, brothers and sisters, I know I speak for many of us when I say we don't even have the heart to look at those pictures. And I tell you, and you can call me a coward for this, but wallahi, when I get an email with an attachment about more pictures, wallahi, I find it difficult to even open that attachment because I just can't see it. It's just, it's beyond what I can do. I stop looking at the news, looking at the clips from Gaza, because it just hurts me too much. And I don't know what I can do sitting here. But I do know that I cannot react emotionally. I must react looking at the long-term benefits and wisdom. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a wisdom and plan in all that He does. And to reiterate issues that Sheikh Muhammad Shadi brought up, I want to re-emphasize, because wallahi, this is something many, especially the younger amongst us, the overzealous amongst us, overlook. And that is the best thing that you can do, regardless of what other step 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 you take, step 1, the first thing that you should do, that you must do, is to better your own lives as Muslims. There is nothing better you can do for the Muslims in Gaza than to make sure that you yourself are a good Muslim. And realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing people through different ways. The people of Gaza are being tested in a very severe manner. But you know what? You're being tested in your own ways as well. Because Allah has given you health, and Allah has given you wealth, and Allah has given you time, and Allah has given you talents. What are you doing with that time and effort and talent? What are you doing to benefit the ummah? Allah knows if we will ever see a solution to this crisis in our own lifetimes. It's been going on for over 50, 60 years. Allah knows how long this will continue. Allah knows when we will finally see the izzah of Islam reestablished. But in the meantime, we have to do what we can. We have to strive to do what we are capable of doing. Remember, Allah will judge us not based upon international results, but based upon what we have done with the skills and talents that we have. Therefore, I reiterate the power of dua. I reiterate the power of dua. And you know what? Some of us think, subhanAllah, what will my dua do for them? So, you know, let me just be frank with you. If you don't think it's going to do anything for them, then at least do it for yourself. At least do it for a selfish reason. If you really, really are truly that much spiritually demotivated that you think, what can my dua possibly do for them? Then let me just remind you that dua does miracles to you when you make it. Why? Because dua connects you with Allah. Dua connects you with the Muslim ummah. Dua reminds you of who you are and who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Remember, Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. Say, my Lord does not concern Himself with you except because of your dua to Him. Allah only cares about you because of your relationship with Him, and Allah specifies because of your dua to Him. قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. My Lord does not concern Himself with any of His creatures except those creatures who make dua to Allah. And so when you make dua to Allah, you will automatically establish a relationship with Allah, and you will realize that perhaps it is this relationship that is the best thing that you can do for the Muslims in Gaza of your time and place. Also realize, and this is one of those problematic issues that I wanted to talk about, but not in a lot of detail in this call, but realize that yes, wallahi, it is problematic being Western Muslims. Wallahi, it is. There is no denying this. We know that our countries, unfortunately, and I speak from America as an American, we know that our countries are amongst the primary countries supporting this regime and what they are doing. We know this. We know that our taxpayer dollars are going there. We have to say this. But you know what? I want to say something as well. And that is, alhamdulillah, at least, the countries that we live in, they allow us the full freedoms to be as angry as we want and as vociferous, as vocal as we want. And we can do whatever we want within the confines of the law to make sure that other people know about how we feel. There are many countries on earth you could not even express those feelings. There are many countries on earth, and you know what? Some of them, in fact, many of them are Muslim countries. If you dared express your outrage, you would not be able to live peacefully in your own house. And it is even sadder to note that there are some Muslim countries even that are helping out in this regard. They are not helping on the right side. And Muslims in those countries are also helpless to do anything. The point is, wallahi, we are angry. We are angry at our own governments, but that anger does not channel itself except in a halal manner. And it is a halal manner when we look at the long-term goals and see what the effects of that anger will do. And I think, and Allah knows best, I think that of the wisdoms that there are so many millions of Muslims in Western lands is because there is no group of people who can better educate the rest of the Western lands, Christians, Jews, agnostics, atheists. There is no group of people who is better entitled and better educated to themselves teach their fellow Americans, fellow Canadians, fellow Britishers about what is happening other than us. We speak the language, we walk the walk, we talk the talk, we know what they think, we know what the media says. And I honestly think this is something that we do need to think of. It is not step one. Step one is always iman, dua, taqwa. But it could be step two, step three, step four. You all know that 2 months ago, there was a DVD that was released, Obsession with Radical Islam, and over 30 million DVDs were sent out in America alone. 30 million, that is like one out of every 9 households, or one out of every 6 households in America received that DVD. That is a huge, massive number. SubhanAllah, is it not possible for us to find a much better DVD, not something that is vicious and cool, but an honest documentary, a real two-sided documentary that shows the plights of both sides. Yes, let us show the plights of both sides and let them judge for themselves. Let the viewers judge for themselves what is really going on. Is it not possible to do something like this? So what I'm trying to say is that indeed we are very angry at what is happening, and we should be angry. And if we're not angry, then something is wrong with our iman. But we use that anger and we channel it properly. And it is possible that of the best things that we can do here in the Western lands is to educate and preach, is to talk, is to make sure that the people are aware of the other side of the story and not what is necessarily shown on their own television screens. Lastly, I know my time is ending up. I'd just like to emphasize once again some basic facts that all of you know, and that is the importance of giving sadaqah and charity. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of those who have given, and Sheikh Muhammad Sharif for his generosity as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase all of you in your reward. Remember that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam swore by Allah that money does not decrease when you give charity. And remember that so many ayat and hadith that we continue to hear about charity, of them is that very famous hadith that shows us that when you give charity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually increases your wealth. And a very beautiful hadith that is reported in the Sahih al-Bukhari, that a man saw a cloud pass by his own field and go to the field of another person. And as it was going there, he heard a voice say in the skies, O cloud, water the field of so-and-so. And so the cloud passed over this man's own field. I mean, he wanted the water, obviously, but it passed over him, and it went to the field of a person far away. And so the man ran behind the cloud, rushing behind it, seeing where this cloud is going. And indeed, the cloud began to rain on the field of a person. He asked the person's name, and it was the same person that he heard in the cloud. And so the man said, Oh, so-and-so, I heard a voice in the clouds directing the clouds to your field, your property. And I mean, I want this water too. But I mean, something's going on here. How come you're getting this water and I'm not getting it? And so the man said, if what you say is true, the only thing that I can think of is that out of the crops that come, out of all of the money that I get, I spend 1/3 of it on my family and I reinvest in my field, in my crops, 1/3, and 1/3 of all of my profit I give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the poor, to the beggars, to anybody who is needy. And so because he would give of his money, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually blessed him because of that. And this is a beautiful hadith, that because he's giving his money, he's actually richer and wealthier than other people. And so realize that indeed this is a trying and testing time. And giving money is not the only thing we can do. Many of us feel much better if we just give $100, $50, $1,000, and that's it, we move on. But that is only one part of the solution. There's a lot more that needs to be done. Money is indeed crucial. Money is indeed important. And I encourage all of you to give. But after you've given, and I don't want anybody to hang up except that they've given something, even if it's $10, if you don't earn a lot of money, $10 is more than enough, because Allah knows you don't have much. And if you earn a lot, then you must give a lot more, because you will be rewarded based upon what you have and what you can offer, and not based upon the quantity, but the quality of your intentions. So my dear brothers and sisters, my time is indeed running up, but I'd just like to tell you that people sometimes say, how many times do we have to donate? Come on, how many causes? For the masjid, for this institute, for that institute, for this fundraiser, for our Muslim brothers here, for our sisters there. How long are we continue to donate money? And the response is very simple. As long as Allah continues to give you money. As long as Allah continues to give you money and health and wealth, then it is our duty, it is the least that we can do, to give a very, very trivial percentage. What is $100, $1,000, $2,000 when we have so much money in our bank accounts? Give what you can, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you based upon the quality of your intentions and not the quantity and numerical value of your investment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of us for what we cannot do, and may He bless us to do what we should do, and may He grant us hikmah and ilm and iman and taqwa and sabr, and may He alleviate the sufferings of our Muslim brothers and sisters all over the world, especially those in Gaza. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala abdi Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Yasser, for your words of wisdom. And it's really something that we have to look at and apply in ourselves. And like Sheikh Yasser was saying, we've seen the pictures, we've seen what's happening. And we really have to ask ourselves, what are we doing with ourselves? How is our iman? When Allah tests people in different ways, right? He says in the Quran that He tests people with shar and wal khayri fitna. Right? And so some people are tested with things like wars or catastrophes or loss of wealth and lives. And others are tested with wealth, with health. And when they have those tests, how are they acting? And it's really important that we reflect in our lives and see, what is our connection like with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And first and foremost, work on ourselves. As the Shaykh mentioned, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيْرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيْرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed does not change the situation of a people until they change from that which is within themselves first. Now, for the listeners, I have a message for you from Sheikh Yasser Birjaz. And for those, most of you, I'm sure, know him. He's an instructor at Al-Maghrib Institute and one of the student favorites. And alhamdulillah, I have had a chance to also take some classes with him as well. And an amazing Sheikh, may Allah preserve him and protect him. And he wanted to remind everyone, and I am relaying the message on his behalf, that now is not the time to give your excess wealth. So when we're calling on you to give now, and people may be giving $10 or $100 or $1,000 or whatever it is, we want to remind you that now is not the time just to give your excess wealth, but now is the time to split your wealth. Split what you have for the people of Gaza. Help them out as much as possible. And I want to share with you, there's a brother who donated, and his young son is listening in onto the webcast. He's 6 years old, and his name is Ibrahim Atiq. Now, this six-year-old brother, may Allah reward you, Ibrahim, and may Allah make you from amongst His righteous servants and join you in the highest levels of paradise with the prophets and the siddiqeen and shuhada and the salihin. Ibrahim has $8 in his piggy bank. And so he told his father that, today I want to give $5 to the people of Gaza. $5 out of $8, more than half his money he gave. And it's been given and submitted, alhamdulillah. But I want you to reflect on that. An innocent child who's giving more than half his wealth. Now think about yourself. Now I know we say, oh, we have responsibilities. We have tuition to pay. We have bills to pay. We have books to buy. We have et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But remember that same six-year-old child can be the child of someone else in Gaza right now who is left without a father and left without a mother. You know, as I mentioned, I work for Islamic Relief now, and I've worked for another relief organization. And in another country, not Palestine, in another Muslim country, there was an orphan drive, and so there was food packages being given to orphans. So a man comes. He comes to the relief worker, and he comes with his young child. For those of you who have little brothers or sisters or nephews, or if you have children, think about your child. He comes with his young child not being able to provide for him. A man, a father, where your pride isn't taking care of your family. And he asks the brother, can I have a food package? And so he is told that, I'm sorry, this is specifically for orphans. This is not for children who have a father. And upon hearing that, now imagine the situation and think about what's happening in Gaza right now and how 80% of the population of Gaza lives in poverty. Think about how 90% of the children in Gaza do not have the belief that their parents can even protect them. When he hears this from the relief worker that I cannot give you because your son is not an orphan, he raises his hands to the sky. And he makes a dua to Allah. And he says, "Oh Allah, take my life so my son can eat. Oh Allah, take my life so my son can eat." A father should not have to make a dua like that, ever. But it's such a dire situation for them. They don't have basic food. They're hungry. They're cold. They need blankets. They need medical care. And that's missing from their lives. And so we are being called upon when Allah SWT has blessed us. And I know many of the listeners are probably students, but you can still give from what Allah SWT has given you, because we go out, we go to BTB, we go to Qdoba, we go to Subway, we eat out a lot. Can we sacrifice some of that and give to the people of Gaza instead? Can we make some sacrifice? Instead of buying, you know, $200 pair of shoes, let's buy $50 pair of shoes, and the $150 extra goes to Gaza. We can make sacrifices. We make the excuses that we're in college and we're poor, but if you think about the amount of money we spend, and I, being a college student myself, attest to that, we can definitely give if Allah SWT opens our hearts and minds to do so. Having said that, we're going to proceed with the program, and there has been, there right now, the update in terms of the money, just to give you guys an idea of where we're at, we have collected about $18,000. And the vast majority of that is from Canada. We have $21,000. $20,000 from Canada and a little under $1,000 from the UK. So the UK, brothers and sisters, on the program, you're being beaten by a number of 20-1. So we're calling upon the UK brothers to step up. We're short of our goal still, but we need you guys to step up and make some sacrifices. Make some calls to your uncles and aunties and whoever else that you know to donate today, now, before the program's over. Now, continuing on, we have Dr. Hani Al-Banna. Now, Dr. Hani Al-Banna is a co-founder of Islamic Relief. He is also the founder and president of the Humanitarian Forum. Dr. Hani was awarded with the Order of the British Empire by Queen Elizabeth II in 2004. He also received the Ibn Khaldun Award for Excellence in Promoting Understanding Between Global Cultures and Faiths in the UK. That same year, the Egyptian Medical Syndicate awarded him for his services to humanity and medicine. In 2005, he received the Kashmiri and Pakistani Professional Association Award. And in 2006, he was awarded the Asian Jewel Lifetime Achievement Award. So mashallah, he's very well accomplished, and he, in addition to all of that, he even has some more credentials, and I'm leaving a lot off as well for the sake of time. But he was born in Egypt. He completed his MBBCH in medicine at Al-Azhar University, and he also obtained a diploma in Islamic studies in 1976. He then went on to further his medical training and completed a doctorate of medicine, MD, in fetal pathology from the University of Birmingham Medical School in 1991. And as I mentioned, he is the co-founder of Islamic Relief. And so we now have Dr. Hani Al-Banna to share with you a few words.
Alhamdulillah, wassalamu ala rasulullah. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. It's an honor for me to speak to you tonight, your time, and early morning, our time. It's a pleasure for me to be amongst you, because I could learn a lot from you. I have learned a lot from the previous speaker. But I'm going to talk tonight about one thing called feeling. It's not about the money that we are trying to raise. Money is haqqun ma'loom. It's a right upon us, for them, upon us. It is their right to ask their own money. It's not a privilege that we give them the money. It is our duty to give it, because it is the right. Feeling. How does it feel when we see bombs coming on the roofs of our houses? How does it feel when we feel the fright and the horror? And when we see the heart screams And when we see the parts of the body flying and seeing the blood and the agony in the heart and the faces of people there, how does it feel when I lose my father, or I lose my son, or I lose my sister, or I lose my friend? How does it feel when I become homeless? How does it feel when I lose my house? How does it feel when I lose my future? How does it feel when I don't have a dream? How does it feel when I don't see tomorrow coming to my family, coming to my neighborhood? How does it feel? Tonight is not about being angry or about shouting or about just paying the money. It's about feeling. How does it feel if I was there and I was with them? How does it feel if I sleep in a very cold room, in a crowded room or overcrowded room with 50 or 100 people? How does it feel when I don't have food and water for days and days, when I don't have blankets, when I don't have clothes, when I cannot go to the toilet, when I don't have proper water to drink? And how does it feel when I don't have light, when I don't have a school, when I can play outside as a child? How does it feel? It's about feeling. It's about reality. It's about the issue. It's about actually the living of those people as I speak now, as we listen now. How does it feel? Do we feel? Do we feel their feeling? Do we share their feeling? Do we share their agony? Do we share their dreams? Do we have this feeling? Do we have this feeling in our hearts? Can we imagine how they live, how they eat, how they sleep, how they drink, how they think, how they live as human being, how ordinary human being? This is the feeling. Allah provides the money, because the money is not ours. I'm not going to beg you to give money, because believe me or not, the money is not ours. The money is given by Allah to them. Whether we raise the 100 or the 200 or the 500,000 tonight or we don't, Allah is the provider. And Allah is the one who will be able to support them. So let us be on the side of Allah and be able to support them. But before that, we should share the feeling, a feeling which never ends, a feeling that we have to change, a feeling that we change it to happiness and joy and comfort with those people. The feeling of shared ownership. I own my house, I own my computer, but I share it with others. This is the feeling. The feeling of brotherhood, the feeling of one family together. This is what we want. I don't want to change my anger to shouting at people, to throwing stones, to going out. No, but I want you to change your anger and this feeling into action. The power of communication which led our anger to become an act. Today or tonight we'll raise the money, but tomorrow we'll build institutions and organizations that will be able to stop this scene happening anymore at any part of the world. Our duty now is to act, and act swiftly, raising the money tonight, tomorrow, and next week. But we need to plan, to organize ourselves, to build strong institutions, to build strong institutions, and to build strong institutions. And this is the message for you tonight and for myself. Be an institution builder. Don't act emotionally. Act rationally and think in an organized way to build the institution. Let me bring you back to a young children. And this is coming back to the feeling again. How can we see three children staying for 3 days and nights? You know next to whom? In a destroyed house, next to the decaying body of their dead mother. How can a child at the age of 6 or 7 or 8 sit and look at his decaying dead body of his mother for 3 days and nights? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Can you see it? Can we feel it? Can we realize it? Can we sense it? What this child will be when he came out from this place with no food, no water, just shock. This is the feeling which you try to bring to our hearts to build a better future for those children. Another child was playing over the roof, and all of a sudden, a missile or a shrapnel came, and she found herself in a hostel, losing both legs. You know what she said? My dream was to become a journalist, to be able to bring the truth to everybody before anybody else make a lie about the truth. I said the child, who was his? Both eyes had been swollen and closed totally, and his face was burned. He did not realize that he lost his eyesight, but he did not lose the sight of his vision. With his vision brought the hope to us. You know what he said? Alhamdulillah. I thank Allah, and Allah will help me to carry on. The strength of the spirit of those little children is letting us to carry on going and going and going. They are reviving our souls, strengthening our iman and our belief. But when we need to act, we need to act in a very organized way, systematic, to build the institution to stop this kind of atrocity globally, whether it's happened to Muslim or non-Muslim. Islamic League so far spent $3 million over the last 3 weeks in food, medicine, and other things. I can read a long list. $1 million a week. And this is not enough, because the need is more than $1 million a week. The need is more than $10 million a week. The need is more than $50 million a week. But the need which we'd like to have now is to have our heart, not to have our pockets. To have our mind and our thoughts, not to have our dollars and our coins. The mind to think, the heart to feel, and the brain to make the vision for saving humanity. As you are all Muslim or non-Muslim, by definition, you are global citizens, and you are here to save humanity. To save humanity in an organized, systematic, and institutionalized way. This is the feeling, and this is to change our anger and our agony and our this kind of burning feeling in our heart into action. We need to raise as much money as we can tonight, because this is haqqun ma'loom. This is the right and our wealth, which is not our wealth. It's Allah's wealth. It's not our right to keep it. We've been entrusted to keep it. And believe me, that when we give, Allah gives more. When we don't give, Allah does not give any more. And this is the message for us tonight, to share the feeling with those people and keep sharing the thoughts all the way till Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to save them and save the millions and millions and millions and millions of children and people worldwide. They are noble people. They are global citizens. You are strong believers. You will be able to do it because you believe in yourself. because you believe in your Lord, and because you will be able to do it. Not only you can do it, you will be able to do it, inshallah. And this is when I look at the agony. I've been to many places, but I haven't seen what I saw over the last few days. I haven't seen what I saw over the last few days. Been to Bosnia, to Chechnya, to Iraq, to other difficult places, but not like what I have not seen what I saw over the last few days. Come back to what we are here tonight for. Are we here to spend an hour or two to talk to one another, or we are here to act together? We are here to act together. How can we save a child? How can we save a woman? And how can we save a family? And how can we build a community? And how can we raise our moral value? This is what we are here tonight to do collectively. To share our feeling, to share our wealth, to share our knowledge, to share our thoughts, share our dreams, and make all our dreams to be a reality, to save humanity. And tonight, brothers and sisters, you will be savior of humanity. Because I believe in you, and I believe that you will be able to do it, not just you can do it. You will be able to do it because you are doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you are doing it not for yourself, not for a glory, not for a name, not for a fame, but you are to do it in a very humble way to serve humanity. Serve and save humanity. Humanity needs your acts, your action, your product, your delivery. Deliver the best of moral value to humanity in action, in service. And this is the message that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came 1,500 years ago both and delivered it. Delivered it in action. Delivered it, which like a shining star, which never faded and will never fade. And you are those stars which will be able to shine humanity with the goodness of your act and the swift actions you are going to carry and the best product that you are going to deliver for the sake of Allah to save humanity. Please believe that you can save humanity, and you will do it, because Allah will be pushing you forward to save it, and you will save it. Do not ever underestimate you and what Allah has given you. Jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Dr. Benna, Jazakum Allah khair for sharing with us your thoughts. And actually, I wanted to ask you a few questions, if that's okay.
Yes, okay.
So I know a lot of people have questions with the blockade and the limiting of humanitarian aid being allowed into Gaza. How is Islamic Relief, well, number one, is Islamic Relief allowed to work inside of Gaza?
Well, I've been working in Gaza since 1997, 98. I visited Gaza myself in 1990. I visited Jerusalem and the West Bank, Hebron, in 1996. Then I visited Gaza and Nablus and Hebron in 1997, where we started to open our office. And since that time, we have an office in full operation in Gaza and Ramallah. And we have got good relation with many organizations there, including all the authorities. We managed to get supply from Rafah border when it was open, and also from inside, from the West Bank. We bought a lot. All this, when I said we spent $3 million over the last 3 weeks, I can tell you briefly in food, food for hospitals, food package for Gaza, for North, hygiene kits, blankets, hygiene kits for IDPs, IDPs and internally displaced people, medical disposable, medical equipment, medical disposable again, canned food, food package, for ambulances we bought, baby milk, milk powder, medical disposable again, and all this been bought mostly from the West Bank, delivered, and with the coordination and cooperation of World Health Organization, they received it for us in Gaza at the border and delivered it to our warehouses, and they've been distributing it over the last 3 weeks. So we have money, and we are managing to get the food stuff and food items and medical equipment and other non-food items from inside the West Bank and other cities there, as well as from Egypt border.
Okay. So, and just so the listeners know, the United Nations World Health Organization, they're the ones who have been designated by the Israeli government to coordinate aid shipments into Gaza on behalf of all the agencies. And so Islamic Relief has been working closely with the World Health Organization for some time now. Alhamdulillah, as Dr. Ben is mentioning, we have a lot. We've already done over $3 million worth of donations has gone into many of the things he's mentioned. Now, and I know another question that people have is, with the situation as it is, with the bombings and it's very dangerous, obviously. How is it, like, how are Islamic Relief workers coping? Do you have any contacts with that, or do you know how the operations are going there?
Yeah, the operation is going in a very, very difficult, sometimes impossible atmosphere. And they have to find the way between the bombing to be able to deliver to these areas, as I mentioned, to different areas, displaced people, to coordinate with UN, United Nations, UNRWA, which is in charge of the whole operation, or with World Food Program, or with the World Health Organization, as well as with some other organization on the scene. It is very dangerous. Some of our workers lost their families. I know one of them lost 5 members of his family. The other one, his brother lost his leg, which is none of the members of the Islamic Relief working in Gaza, which is about 80, 85 workers there, did not have a casualty in his family, whether death or injury. But they still refused to close the office. They moved the office from one place to another place because it became dangerous. Some of them have got their houses been destroyed, partially or totally, but they cannot stop working. They have to work because they are the hope of the people in the community. So how can they call them relief workers when they could be sitting at home or going out to Egypt or going out to some other places? So they have to stay in Gaza as Islamic people staying in Iraq, as Islamic people stay in Afghanistan, as Islamic people staying in Chechnya and Grozny. You see, this is the message. Because as a relief worker, brothers and sisters, you have to be a messenger. You have to have a message to deliver. You don't go for a job, for a salary, for a time to pass or experience. You have to go for a message. If you don't have a message to deliver to people, the food is not good enough for them.
Okay.
The situation is impossible sometimes, but they are working very hard.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them and preserve them and allow them to continue to the work. I mean, JazakAllah khair, Dr. Benna, for joining us and sharing with us your thoughts and your time. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bless you in the work that you're doing with Islamic Relief. Now, for the listeners, before we end, now, the schedule is that we're going to have some fundraising now. But I want to let you know that for those who are still here, number one, may Allah Ta'ala reward you for staying this long, and inshallah ta'ala benefiting, because every second is something we can learn from and we can really look at our lives. And number two, we have a special guest who is going to be calling in and joining us shortly. Now, I'm not going to tell you who. If you have predictions, you can go on to the Maghrib forums in the announcement section and go ahead and make your predictions. Also, in the announcement section, you'll see that there is a few things. One, they're keeping it account there. So if you go to forums.almaghrib.org and click the announcements link, the announcements section, you'll see the that there's a account being held of how much we've collected so far, and right now we're at 31,000, alhamdulillah. So we are getting close to our goal of 55, and there's a poll that's being updated, and there's also a live Google document that you can tell, Excel sheet, that's being updated by some of the brothers that can keep you updated in terms of how much donations we're getting. Having said that, there's also an address posted on the announcement section by Noor that if you have a check, you want to mail a check to Islamic Relief, there is an address posted there that you can mail a check towards as well. Of course, there's a Donate Now button right on the screen that you're looking at on the Al-Minar page. You can click there, follow the links, and please donate generously. Now, again, all the donations we're collecting today are going towards Gaza medical supplies. So it's going towards medical supplies in Gaza through Islamic Relief. Now, I want to share with you actually some thoughts, and a lot of this is what I've learned from our shuyukh at Al Maghrib Institute in different classes, and a lot of this is something that you've heard before, and I just wanted to share with you some of that. And the first thing I wanted to share with you is that of the story of the boy and the king, right? We know the story, and those of you who attended Heart Serene with Sheikh Riyad, he mentioned the story, right? The story of the boy and the king where and Surat al-Buruj is about the story where there was a young man who was being taught by a sorcerer magic, right? And on the way, when he would go to the sorcerer, he would meet a monk who was following, the way of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, but the true way, and he was a Muslim. And so he would, this was of course before the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And so he would stop by in the morning and study with the monk, and then in the evening he would go study with the sorcerer. And so one day, he came across a huge beast, an animal. A huge animal was in the road, blocking the way for the people. And so what happened was, he was torn between these two ideologies, the way of the sorcerer and the way of the monk. And so he decided to take a rock. And so he picked up the rock and he said, "Oh Allah, if what the monk does is preferable to you, then over what the sorcerer does, then turn this beast aside so that the people can pass." And so he threw the rock, a small rock in his hand, that's all he had, and he threw it. And that rock killed the beast and let him know that the way of the monk was the correct way. If you go to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam left his wife and his son in the middle of the desert. He left them and he put his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even his wife, the righteous wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, she said, "Allahu amaraka bihada, has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded you to leave us here?" And finally Ibrahim responded to them by saying yes, and then she said, "Then indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never leave us." And so Ibrahim, he came across Shaytan. Shaytan came to him, right? And so he threw 7 pebbles, and we know what we do in at the Jamarat in Hajj. For those of you who have gone, or you know about the throwing of the 7 pebbles. Ibrahim took small rocks, the size of a chickpea, 7 small pebbles, and with that he defeated Shaytan. Small pebbles. You go to the story of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. Dawood, in the battle, we know David versus Goliath, right? Dawood against Jalut. And Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, he was amongst the army and he was a young man. He was a young man. But he had faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he did what he could. So Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, what he did is he took a rock and with his slingshot type mechanism, he shot this one small rock at Jalut, and Jalut was killed. Goliath was killed. Now, why am I mentioning these 3 incidences? The story of the boy and the king, the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and the story of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. Because all 3 of them, all they had in their hand was a small rock. And all 3 of them were given victory by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you might be thinking, I'm a college student. I don't have a lot of money. Right? I'm struggling to pay through my tuition. I'm struggling to pay my bills. You might be thinking that I have 4 kids who have to go to school, that I have taxes coming up in a few months, that the economy is very bad, and my job is insecure. And so I have to hold on to my money. But brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that just like Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam and the boy in Ibrahim had that rock and let it fly, I am telling you that whatever you have in your hand, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, to let it fly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of the rest. He has the power subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the power of one act that you do, a small deed, it might be only $10. But He can magnify that many fold. He can put barakah in that same $10, and it could be those $10 that save the life of a child in Palestine. When Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَى النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا, if you save the life of one, that is as if you save the life of all of mankind. So, give what you can. Let it fly. The donation link is right there in front of you. Donate now. Click that. And follow the links according to your country. On the main page, ilminar.com. Click donate now. And give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you don't know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do with your wealth. You know, there was a man, the Sheikh Yasir Qadhi taught us this. There was a man there was a woman, a prostitute from Bani Israel. Right? A prostitute from Bani Israel, and imagine how much sin she's accrued. Right? She was walking and she came across a well. And at the well she saw a thirsty dog. A dog so thirsty that it was licking the sand to look for any droplets of water next to the well. Licking the sand out of thirst. And so, the woman, a prostitute, went down into the well and filled up her shoe with water and came up and gave the water to the dog. And because of that small deed, such a small deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave her all of her sins, a prostitute. Forgave all her sins for feeding a thirsty dog water. Now, brothers and sisters, imagine how much reward you will get for giving a chance at life through your donations to not a dog, but our brothers and sisters, our believers, our brothers and sisters in faith who are believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are from one of us. Innamal mu'minuna ikhwa. We are all a single brotherhood. And the Prophet said in a famous hadith that the example of the ummah is like that of one body. If one part of it is in pain, the rest is going to stay up in pain at night as well. Are you feeling the pain? And if you are, do you believe in the promise of Allah? Do you believe in the promise of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he said, Wallahi ma naqasa malun min sadaqah, that whatever you give will not, your wealth will not be decreased by what you give. If you believe in that, if you believe that Allah Ta'ala told you in the Quran that whatever you spend, He will give you back up to 700-fold. If you believe that Allah Ta'ala has promised those who spend forgiveness, He's promised them a great reward. If you believe in that, if you believe that by the sincerity of one of your actions, that by $10, by $100, by $1,000, whatever it is Allah Ta'ala has given you, and Allah knows and I don't know, and no one else knows, but you, by that act of charity, by the act of kindness in your heart, when you feel for your brothers and you see the pictures and videos on TV, and you give, perhaps Allah Ta'ala will write for you that you are from the people of Jannah. Just like the woman from Bani Israel, who gave a dog water, and for that, she was forgiven. Don't hold back, because Shaitan comes to you now and promises you poverty. Shaitan ya'idukum al-faqr. Wallahu ya'idukum maghfiratan minhu wa fadla. Wallahu wasi'un 'aleem. Allah promises you forgiveness and bounty from Him. Now, brothers and sisters, the Donate Now link is there. Click it. Go to your country and follow the steps and donate. We need to reach our goal of $55,000. Right now, our numbers are this. We have about $30,000 from Canada, and a little over 1,000 from the UK. And from the U.S., we don't have updates from the Islamic Relief Office. So those of you who are giving from the U.S. and you're saying, why isn't our update showing? We will know the numbers from America tomorrow, inshallah. And so we will post it on the forums. But right now, the U.K. has about 1,000 and Canada has about 30,000. And so our goal, again, is to get $55,000. Now, we have a special surprise guest for you. And I don't know if you've been guessing on the forums, but whoever guessed, our next guest, inshallah ta'ala, may Allah Ta'ala reward you for guessing right. We have our esteemed Sheikh from Al Maghrib now with us to share some words with you. Tafadhal. Is our guest here yet? Suspense is building, inshallah ta'ala. Can we get a drum roll, please? Slave, as our guest gets ready, or the suspense is building, I would like to share with you something. And that is, as those of you who have taken the history of Khulafa class of Sheikh Muhammad Sharif, you know that there was a woman in Medina who was uncovered. She was uncovered by someone, and because of that, Muhammad ﷺ responded, and the Ummah of Muhammad ﷺ responded. They went and they took care of the situation. We know the story of a woman in a faraway land who yelled, "Wa mu'tasama, wa mu'tasama," and for that, the Islamic Empire responded. And now, if you think about it, you think about how many women and children are yelling, "Wa mu'tasama." How many women and children are calling out for help? And then, brothers and sisters, you, yes, you, sitting at your home here in America, can be the answer to that call. You can help them in a way that others perhaps cannot, by simply giving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are those who don't have food. There are those who don't have blankets and it's cold there. There are those who don't have electricity. 500,000 of those in Gaza do not even have running water. So the suffering is great. And we have been given opportunities to help out in a way that very few people can, because Allah has put us in this position to do so. Others around the world cannot. So inshallah ta'ala, click the donate now button and give whatever you can. Now if you've already given once, you can give again. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Sheikh Muhammad Sharif was talking about this, right? Because a lot of masajid have already had fundraising. But Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, "Aminu billahi wa rasulih, wa anfiqu mimma ja'alakum mustakhlifina fih." He says, believe in Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then spend from that which you love. Because just as we renew our iman in Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, just like every day we pray five times a day to show, to worship Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala and to keep our iman strong, just like that, Allah Ta'ala says, "Aminu billahi wa rasulihi wa anfiqu," and spend from that which Allah Ta'ala has given you. In Surah Al-Imran, Allah Ta'ala says, "Lan tanalu al-birra hatta tunfiqu mimma tuhibbun." You won't attain righteousness until you spend from that which you love. So then, if you spend from that which you love, you will attain righteousness. And Imam Ibn Kathir, he says that this verse means لَن تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مَا تُحِبُّونَ, that you will not attain Jannah until you spend from that which you love. So I know Allah says in the Quran, وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّةً, that you love wealth a lot. And mankind as a nature, we love wealth. But Allah says also in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ, those who believe, who have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have a stronger love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that love trumps all else. So brothers and sisters, click the donate now button. Whether you've given already in the past or you can give again, please do so. We need to meet our goal of $55,000, inshallah ta'ala. So please give. And I don't know you. No one knows you. No one can see your hand raised up. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows you. So,
What did you see? Now,
we have our esteemed guest and surprise speaker with us. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Tafaddal Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Actually, I was unmuted. I couldn't unmute the phone. But alhamdulillah that I'm here today. I just actually arrived. And I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allowed me to participate in such a unique opportunity that we coordinating in Al-Maghrib with our brothers in Islamic Relief. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them and reward those who are putting their time and effort to help the Muslims and the needy and those who are struggling, going through a hardship and a hard time, whatever they are. And today we're talking about an issue which has moved every heart, the heart of every human, not only Muslims, but definitely for us as Muslims, what we see happening today in Gaza, it's something beyond imaginations. It's really beyond imagination from civil perspective. First, it is something I couldn't think of before, that those individuals, people who are living in Gaza, they are unarmed to face a state considered one of the modernist states in the world, the strongest army in the face of the earth today. And for more than 17 days, continuously, airplanes shooting at them rockets, killing more than 1,000 persons so far. It is really very, very hard on any Muslim to see his brothers and sisters going through in such terrible time, and his or her heart will not be moved, will not be moved. And our heart should be moved towards them in several ways. One, that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Allah will allow us, give us opportunity to do anything to stop this bleeding, this killing, to participate in defending them and be next to them to defend their land, defend their homes, defend their families, that we would love and wish to be. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man lam yaghzu aw yuhaddith nafsahu bil ghazw, mata 'ala shu'batin min shu'ab an-nifaq." Those who never participated in jihad or even thought about it, they die on a sign of hypocrisy. And this issue of wishing that you be part of any position or area where it is legally and Islamically, and legally allowed for a person to be there participating in defending his brothers and his sisters, and the land which has been occupied unjustly, unfairly, by an occupation, a foreign occupation like what we see there. Not only that, but even killing the people of the land and using this force against communities and against civilians, against children, where you see bullets going through their heads and their chests. And if anybody looking at the news really will understand that this is just beyond a political move, or it's not about Hamas as an organization. It's about a state. It's about a whole nation. It's about the Palestinians as a nation, a race. It's about the Muslims and even the non-Muslims who lives there. And it's really something moved the heart of any Muslims. If any person who has any kind of love for humanity will stand beside those people. As we have seen, rabbis stood in the middle of the streets, burning their even passports, and saying shame that they are carrying a passport of Israel if they are doing that. We've seen Christians, Jewish, Muslims, all over the world today. They have said it very loud, and the streets is much louder, unfortunately, than the government and the international, the political international community. But the streets of all over the world today have said it very loud that they are not in any way willing to accept or tolerate such barbaric way of killing civilians and innocent people in Gaza, as well as we see today at this time. So that's one thing that the persons really should have in his heart as a believing mu'min, believing male or a female, that the person will wish that he or she can offer their help. And if it's not a physical help, by being there, defending them and protecting their bloods, protecting their homes, at least that you do that through your financial support to those who have been wounded, those who are hungry, those who are out of shelters, those who cannot provide for themselves. And no doubt that this is something Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, love and encourage us to do. One of the things also that I would like to say in regard to what's happening today in Gaza, that I have seen in the media, some people come out, and even some people talk among Muslims, saying, oh, they deserve what they have, a'udhu billah. كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِ. That then people saying they deserve that. They brought this to themselves. You know what? If they did, if they submit and they just give up, they will not be in this situation. In this situation, and just when I, whenever I hear things like that, statements like this, I said to myself, Subhanallah, this history repeats itself. Allah Subhanahu wa Taala said in the Quran, يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تكونوا كالذين كفروا وقالوا لإخوانهم إذا ضربوا في الأرض أو كانوا غزا لو كانوا عندنا ما ماتوا وما قتلوا ليجعل الله ذلك حسرة في قلوبهم والله يحيي ويميت والله بما تعملون بصير ولئن قتلتم في سبيل الله أو متتم لمغفرة من الله ورحمة خير مما يجمعون ولئن متتم أو قتلتم لإلى الله تحشرون. الله سبحانه وتعالى in سورة آل عمران in I think it's verse 156 all the way to 159 or 8. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us that to the believer, oh, you believe, be not like those who disbelieve. The hypocrites. That they used to say to their brothers, they said, when they traveled through the earth or they would fight for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would say to them, if they had stayed with us, they wouldn't have died or been killed. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them feel regret in their hearts, in their hearts. Wallahu yuhyi wa yumeet. Allah is the one who controls life and death. Allah is the one who controls life and death. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all seer of what you do. And if you killed or die in the way of Allah, forgiveness and mercy from Allah are far better than all what they aims for worldly يعني wealth. Those who died today in Gaza yesterday, those thousand people who we will at least heard of that they died during this these 18 days, we know that they are going to the most merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We not worry about them as much as we worry about whoever left. It is not allowed for us to point fingers and to tell the people who are now under attack, who are now been abused, been killed, their family been crushed in front of them. I saw in the TV a woman, she was telling the story of her 11 members of her family were crushed and killed in front of her eyes in the house that they were she living with. Only two survived. You know, when you look at mothers on the TV carrying their child, 6 years old, 4 years old, and a bullet going through his head or through his heart or chest, when you see the burning faces, the burning bodies of those who've been burned by the bombs that they throwing at them day and night, it really makes the person feel that there is something, not just, I think the words injustice is not even enough, that it is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let it go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bil marsad. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not rush the punishment for the tyrants or the abusers or these dictators, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep it fully for them in the day of judgment. As you read in Surah Al-Buruj, the story of those who have killed the true believer Christians when the king of Yemen tortured them just because they are a believer and they were Christians. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't tell us that that king who killed them and dig the trenches and burned them alive ever been destroyed or his. Allah knows exactly what happened to them. But you know what? He's gone and the believers remain after him. We know that the people upon the truth will remain. And those occupations and those who build their cases on falsehood will vanish one day, will vanish one day. Today, my brothers and sisters, I really encourage all of you, since we have, alhamdulillah, an illegal way to support our brothers and to help them, the least we can do, that this is to show our support and our help to them by providing them a financial support that can help those needies, can help those hungry mothers and children, and to help our sisters and our brothers who are looking for a place to settle. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this, what happening today in Gaza, will help the Palestinians to reconciliate between each other, to bring all political parties together so they can set their priorities straight and they can have one representative for the people of that region, so we can move forward to see a true peace based on justice and fair will take place in that land, where people can live together in peace and harmony, insha'Allah ta'ala. And wallahi, I don't think this is far from happening. Even with all what I see today, I see that this hardship that we see in front of our eyes will, insha'Allah, lead that. It will, insha'Allah, lead to a better outcome, insha'Allah ta'ala. This just a few words in the top of my head, and I just literally just arrived from the airport, and I would like to say again that part of our duty towards them, to help them if we have an opportunity, like Islamic Relief and other organizations who are legally allowed to support, to bring, to collect funds for them, that's an opportunity. You don't know. Maybe we don't get this opportunity in future. So take advantage of it today. That's one. Two, a dua, praying for them. Al-Qunut in the salawat, in the prayer, in each and every prayer. Wallahi, the amount of qunut that I think going on in the world today for the brothers and sisters in Gaza, it's worthless. It's a priceless, It's something you cannot value. I said to myself, Allahu Akbar, every masjid, every major community, every even small community all over the world making dua for them today. What's better than that? SubhanAllah, if I can think of how amount of reward and ajr that they will get in the akhirah, I say, Alhamdulillah. Yes, it is a hardship, it's a tragedy, but there is always good comes out of it. Always good comes out of it. And believe me, my brothers and sisters, this is not the end of it. This dunya is just the beginning. And al-akhirah is khairu wa abqa. The next life is what will remain, and it is the better. And that's the real winners are the one who will be in the next life. Yes, we might be defeated one day. Yes, we might be weak in certain time of our life as a Muslim nation. But you know what? That's not the end of it. And I can see, inshallah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised in His book, and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised us, that al-aqibah, all of the outcome, the winner in the end will be those who are sincere in their worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us, all of us, among those who will help and stretch their hands to help their brothers and sisters. And just because it's fundraising and it's something, maybe it is better to be encouraging ourselves. I would like to say from my side, inshallah, I also donate $1,000. I don't know what's the procedure in doing that. But I hope that all instructors, all speakers, all fundraisers, they start with themselves and the students and the umara of our qabilas and the active brothers and sisters, the administrations in both organizations, they be the first to support and to donate for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of our students, I thank you a lot, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all. Jazakallah khair.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Waleed. Just so you know, the listeners, and Sheikh Waleed, you can stay with us for a second. The Sheikh Waleed just came back from a 20-hour journey. And when one of the brothers called him and asked him to make a surprise guest appearance, when he told him what's going on, the first thing Sheikh Waleed said is he wants to give $1,000. And so may Allah reward our shuyukh who are teaching us and we're learning from them. MashaAllah, they practice for us. We saw Sheikh Muhammad Sharif give $10,000. We see Sheikh Waleed give. And all of us we have to give to. And so, number one, I want to thank Sheikh Waleed on behalf of the almost 1,000 people who are listening right now. I want to thank you for taking the time to come. And I wanted to ask you, in terms of the topic of using hikmah and wisdom in trying times, now, what do you advise the Muslims, you know, seeing that, you know, people get angry, people get emotional in this time? What do you think is a proper response, you know, that we can do as Muslims living in the West?
I think this anger has to be directed to a positive way. What I mean by that, I think one of the best opportunity that we have in the West now, especially in the United States and in Canada, to use this incident to show the true face of Israel, the government of Israel. I think this is a very good political opportunity for us to do that, to show the true face, the true nature of this regime in Israel to the community. I think if the MSAs, if the United, in all the universities, the political organization that we have, just organize like an exhibit where you show the pictures of what's happening in Gaza. No comment. Just let people see the reality. Just get some video clips of what's happening and put it in the plasma. Make a very well-organized exhibit and let people see. You know what? I'm personally not in any way a supporter or in favor of attacking civilians in Israel or any other place in the world. I think that's not right. But you know what? Whenever there's a rocket fall in an empty house or in the edge of a town and just to scare people, they make a very big news out of that. But when you crush people in their homes, when you have a sniper shoot a 5-year-old baby with a bullet in his head, why this doesn't come out? It is ourselves to blame, nobody else. We should take, I think this is a golden opportunity to score a political point for Muslims in here and to make a warning and showing the true nature of this regime that exists now in Israel to the public in the West. Because they don't see that. They don't get ever opportunity to see that. And I think it's a golden opportunity if we can do it, if we can organize it, and in the same time, we contact our, we ask our representative in the government. We're living in a civil society where you have the freedom to express your feeling, basically your opinions. Even if it's my government doesn't agree with me. Maybe my government doesn't agree with what I say, but still, I living in a society where it's allowed me in a civil way to express my ideas. And if I can convince you, I will win. I will win my case. So that's why I'm asking my brothers and sisters if they can do something like that, organizing in a small exhibit in public libraries, in malls, in any place, and to show the public what's really happening in Gaza, and what is this, how this regime deal with this, with the civilians, and how they don't care about civilians. I think it is a very good opportunity, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh, for your words of wisdom, and again, for after such a long journey joining us and sharing with us your thoughts. May Allah reward you and protect you.
Sorry about interrupting. I would expect that already Sheikh Yasser and Sheikh Muhammad emphasize on the importance of knowing that your anger, our reaction, all should be limited by the rules of the Sharia, also limited and controlled by the law of the country that you're living in. And also there is one more thing. People are different in their their responsibilities are different, and also the way that they can express their opinions can be different. For example, if you're living in a country where they don't have demonstrations or things like that, that's not the way to express yourself. There's another way. If you live in a country that this is the best way to express your objections, that's something you can participate in it. Not every single person needs to participate in it. Maybe some people are not suitable for that. Others maybe are. So everybody should understand that people have different levels of responsibility. We all must do our roles, as long as these roles are, as I said, يعني, in the limit of the Sharia and the law of the country that you're living in.
Okay, JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. Okay, so let me give you, let me give everyone an update now of where we're at and what we need to get to before the program ends. We are now at $34,000, and so we're still short of the $55,000 goal, and I really think that we can. I was coming in as I came in kind of thinking what Muhammad Sharif said when we said 55,000, that's kind of low. I thought we can do higher than that, and I know we can, and I know we don't have the U.S. numbers with us, and we're working on seeing if we can get an update to you before the program ends. But if not, inshallah tomorrow, check the forums. But from UK and Canada, we have about $34,000, and we need to get 55. And so I'm going to call on you guys again. Now, from the 800 people or 800, almost 900 people listening right now, we only had 120 donate so far. So there's a lot of people listening right now who have yet to click the donate button. And so this is a message to you, brothers and sisters, now is the time to give. As Sheikh Yasir Bridges said, now is not the time just to give your extra wealth, but now is the time to split your wealth, to make some sacrifices. And with faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when you give, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you back so many times more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises you that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises you that whatever you give, He will give back. And He says in the Qur'an, and I want you to listen and I want you to pay attention, because wallahi, it's as if He is talking to us. He says in the Qur'an, of course He's talking to us, but in this situation specifically, He says, عَبْدُ اللَّهِ الرَّجِيمِ هَا أَنْتُمْ هَؤُلَاءِ تُدْعَوْنَ لِتُنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يَبْخَلُ وَمَنْ يَبْخَلْ فَإِنَّمَا يَبْخَلُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَاللَّهُ الْغَنِيُّ وَأَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ وَإِنْ تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an that we are called to give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are some, when they are called to give, that they hold back. But Allah says, whoever holds back is at the expense of his own self. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rich, free of all wants, and you, mankind, are poor. And if you turn away from Allah, from Islam and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will exchange you for some other people, and they will not be like your likes. So brothers and sisters, we are being called to answer the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'm begging of you to open your hearts and minds and donate for the sake of Allah. Click the donate button and give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm going to do something that Sheikh Muhammad Sharif does a lot. Okay, Sheikh Muhammad Sharif, what he does in classes, for those of you who know, is that he asks people to stand up and participate. Okay? And so I'm going to ask everybody listening in on this webcast, this Elminar, to stand up. All right, and now you're like, oh man, he can't see me, but Allah subhanahu sees you. So I'm asking you to stand up. All right, stretch out your arms, stretch out your legs, and stand up. Now, if you're next to a window, I want you to look out the window. Right? If you're not next to a window, I don't want you to leave your computer and then you can't hear what I'm about to say. So if you're next to a window, look out the window. Okay? And if you're not, then look up at the ceiling, okay? Now, if you have a little brother, and your little brother, they have those sticky stars, you know, on the sky, on the ceiling with the glow-in-the-dark stickers, check that out. But I want you to look at the stars. I want you to look at the stars. Why do I want you to look at the stars? Because stars are very interesting, you know? The sun is a star, right? And the sun, as many of you probably know, it takes 8 minutes for the light of the sun to reach Earth, right? It takes 8 minutes. So in essence, when we see the rays of the sun, we are looking at something that was given off 8 minutes ago, not in the present, right? So we're looking back in time by 8 minutes. Now, after the sun, the next closest star is 4.2 light years away. Now, light years, the definition of a light year is the distance of light traveled in one solar year. So it takes 4.2 years for the next closest star's light to reach Earth. So now, all of those of you who are standing up right now in this blessed night, this special night, and I'll tell you why it's special in a second, and are looking at the stars, and you're seeing, you're looking at something, the closest star, I don't know which one it is, but that second closest star is 4.2 years old, meaning you are seeing the radiance of that star, the brightness of that star is 4.2 years ago. That's interesting. Now, if you go far the star, right, imagine you bust out, imagine a telescope, and you're going to look out the window, right? And you find the furthest star ever discovered by mankind. Right? Now, that star is 12 billion light years away. 12 billion light years away. And so that means the star that you're seeing with your imagined telescope, the light of it, the radiance of it, the brightness, all of that is something you're seeing that was given off originally 12 billion years ago. You're looking back in time. Now, why am I saying that? Because, again, taking a page out of the book of Sheikh Muhammad Sharif, I want you to think about that. Because just as you can look back in time by looking at stars, right, each and every one of you can be stars in this world. And people later will look back and say, thank you, so-and-so, the light you have given to this community, the light you have given to our ummah, the light you have given to this world is still shining X thousand amount of years later. You can do that. You can have that same impact. Look at the companions, radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in. 1430 years later, their light is still shining and guiding us. We read the Sahaba stories. All the Maghrib classes we go to, we hear the stories of the Sahaba, what they sacrificed, what they gave, what they did, so that they could earn the mercy and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their stars, their light is still shining now. And you, because tonight is a historic night. Why do I say that? Because tonight is a night that we have never, ever, in the history of Muslim fundraising, done an online fundraising event like this. Why is that important? Because you, almost the 1,000 people listening in onto this broadcast right now, you are part of history. You are part of an event that has never been done before. And if it is successful, inshallah ta'ala, you will be a part of a sunnah hasana that will begin after this, and relief organizations will use, inshallah, for years to come to collect money. So you are a part of history. You are part of making something very special right now. You should feel proud of that. You should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving you this opportunity. Now, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was in his teenage years when the Prophet ﷺ died. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was a scholar. Abdullah ibn Umar was 20 years old when the Prophet ﷺ died. Abdullah ibn Umar is also a scholar. We know Abdullah ibn Zubayr was 10 years old, right? The hero of the conquest, the conquest class of Sheikh Muhammad Sharif. We learned about Abdullah ibn Zubayr. He was 10 years old when the Prophet died. Hassan and Hussein were 7 and 6 years old respectively. Aisha ibn Abi Bakr was 18 years old at the death of the Prophet. Usama ibn Zayd was 18 years old at the death of the Prophet. Why am I mentioning these numbers to you? Because these were all young people. They were all young companions of the Prophet who had faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sacrificed for their religion. They were all young in their teenage years. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recorded their works for us, their examples for us that we can learn from, we can strive to be like. So let us strive to be like Aisha bin Abi Bakr. Let us strive to be like Isra bin Abi Bakr. Let us strive to be like Abdullah bin Zubayr, like Hassan, like Hussein, radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in. We can be like them. We can be like them. Look at Malcolm X, rahimahullah ta'ala. He was a man who was into drugs, into girls, into crime. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him to Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him to Islam, he became, now, no one says the name Malcolm X, except they say, rahimahullah ta'ala, the shaheed of America. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that light because he made some sacrifices. He knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take any deed that you do, any, be it so small, be it big, whatever it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can magnify it so many fold that that he can accept you into the highest levels of paradise for such a small deed, such as the prostitute of Bani Israel, who gave water to a thirsty dog and was given Jannah. You can do that. So I'm asking you to donate $10, $100, $500, whatever it is. Keep giving, because we need to meet our goal. We have 1,000 people online, and we only had 120 who've given so far. So give. Give if it's a dollar. Give if it's $5. But you know what? Maryam alayhi salam was commanded to shake the palm tree for the dates to come down. They didn't just fall down in her lap. Musa alayhi salam was commanded to strike the Red Sea for the Red Sea to part. It didn't just part for him. You have to do your part. And when you do your part, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then leave it up to him. And he does whatever he wills. He can put barakah in your work to such a level that it can literally change the course of society. Mountains, brothers and sisters, are simply made of pebbles. And you can make a mountain today. You can move mountains today with the donations that you give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I don't know you. No one's seeing your hands raise up as we do in a typical fundraiser. But what we do know is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sees you and He sees that you're out of your faith and hope in Him, and your hope in His mercy and forgiveness and acceptance, that when you give for someone you don't know, but you love for the sake of Allah, that you know that Allah Ta'ala sees you. You know the promise of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that among the seven who will be shade of the day, there is no shade, but his shade is the one who, when he donates, his left hand doesn't know what his right hand gives. And you are now alone in your room, on your computer. No brothers and sisters around you in the masjid. No one seeing you. I can't call you out in the middle of the crowd and say, are you giving $1,000 or not? I can't do that. But Allah Ta'ala sees you right now. Allah watches you, and He knows what you do. So brothers and sisters, don't hold back. وَمَا لَكُمْ أَلَّا تُنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And what is with you? Allah is going to ask you a question. What is wrong with you? What is with you? وَمَا لَكُمْ أَلَّا تُنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. That you do not spend from that which Allah has given you. Once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth. Brothers and sisters, the donate now button is right there in front of you. And Shaytan might be coming to you and saying that you got bills to pay. You got food to put on your table. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, and say, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, it is the sword of the believer, as Ibn Qayyim says. It is the sword of the believer. Say, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Allah says in the Quran, Shaytan yu'idukum al-faqr. He's promising you poverty. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He's promising you forgiveness and bounty from Him. So click the donate now button. Go to your country's appropriate link and donate for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recorded in the Quran, and before I go ahead, actually, I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna tell you something. And this is this, that we have the update. We have an update from the U.S. numbers. But I'm not gonna tell it to you yet until I drop another line on you guys real quick. I'm gonna tell you another quick story. And after I do that, I'm gonna tell you the number. And I've just been told that the number has already been posted on the forums. You already know my secret, so you spoil my surprise. Alhamdulillah, from the U.S., we have $68,000+. Alhamdulillah. And from Canada, we have $33,000+. And from the U.K., may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you brothers and sisters there, we have $1,310. So our total amount now is $103,000. $103,278. But there's a catch. As Sheikh Muhammad Sharif mentioned, Dr. Hani al-Banna, after he got off the phone, he said, by Allah, we can reach 200,000 if we so wish. So I am going to ask you to stay with me and to stay with the program for a few more minutes. And our goal is not 200, but our goal is 150,000. Our goal is 150,000. And for those of you who are still standing up, may Allah Ta'ala reward you and decrease the time you will be standing on the Day of Judgment. You may now all sit down, of course, and listen and donate. Okay? I want to share with you something. And this is an ayah in Surah Al-Hashr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He says about the people of the Ansar. He says about the people of the Ansar that, and He recorded this. Now, this is important. And it's important because it's a characteristic of the Ansar. Now, there's many characteristics that define the Ansar. Those of you taking the Maghrib classes and the Seerah and the History of Khulafa and the other classes, you know who the Ansar are, right? You know what they've done for Islam. But Allah said that when He recorded their defining characteristics in the Quran, what did He say? He says, والذين تبوأوا الدار والإيمان من قبلهم يحبون من هاجر إليهم ولا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة مما أوتوا ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة ومن يوق شح نفسه فأولئك هم المفلحون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the Ansar and those who came after them, say, our Lord, forgive us and our brethren who came to us in faith. I'm sorry, that's the ayah about the Muhajirun. But about the Ansar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that those who loved those who migrated towards them, right? Those who accepted the Muhajirun, the Ansar of the people of Medina who accepted the Muhajirun, for them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that that for them they love يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. They love those who came to them. Now, keep in mind that most of the Ansar have not yet met the Muhajirun. Right? They're strangers to them. But Allah says they love them. يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا. And Allah says that you will not find in their heart any desire for that which they give to the Muhajirun. And he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. He says that for those who have been saved from the covetousness of their own souls, they are the ones who achieve prosperity. Now the Ansar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were a special group of people. They gave, Allah says in the Quran, even though they were poor, they still gave. Now the Muhajirun went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they went to him and they said, Ya Rasulullah, that they were complaining about the Ansar. They were saying, Ya Rasulullah, that we, the Ansar of Allah, they are so generous that they help us when they are poor, they comfort us. And when they're rich, they're very generous with us. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, that the Ansar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they work in the farms with us. And even though they work in the farms with us, they still split the harvest in half. And so we fear that they're going to take all the rewards and leave us with nothing. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, thank them. So you thank them and you make dua for them. So when somebody does you a favor, you thank them and you also make dua for them, just like the Prophet ﷺ commanded the Ansar to do. And so the Ansar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their defining characteristic was that Ithar, right? In the Heart Serene class with Shaykh Riyadh, we learned about Ithar, to give preference to others over your own selves. Allah says, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. They gave preference to others over themselves, even though they were in need. And I know I'm speaking in a time of economic turmoil. I'm speaking in a time when there's a lot of job insecurity. I'm speaking in a time when you're being called to give to all corners of the Muslim world. Even in here in America, you're being called almost every day to give. But I also know that I'm speaking to the believers. I know that I'm speaking to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an Ummah who is the greatest Ummah ever to come to this earth. I'm speaking to people who believe in Allah, who have hope in Allah, and who have hope in that the Ummah will now return to a state of dignity. And so I'm asking you to be like the Ansar. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, one of the leaders of the Ansar, right? Sa'd ibn Mu'adh and Sa'd ibn Ubadah, two of the leaders of the Ansar. Who were they? Sa'd ibn Mu'adh was injured in the Battle of the Ahzab. Now in the Battle of the Ahzab, you know what happened, right? What happened was that the Battle of the Trench is also called the Battle of Ahzab, the Ghazwat Khandaq, right? The Medina was besieged by the tribe of Ghatafan, the tribe of the people of Quraysh, the tribe of Murra, and other people, right? They were besieged, and so Salman al-Farisi had the idea of building the trench. And so when they did that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِذْ جَاءُوكُم مِّن فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارُ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرَ وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَا هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. Allah says, when they came at you from above you and from below you. They came at you from above you and below you. Just like what's happening in Gaza right now. Right? When bombs are raining down on our brothers and sisters from above them. When there's ground troops indiscriminately killing civilians at you from above you and below you. And at that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that the eyes were turning in fear, and the heart was as if it reached the throat. And at that, Allah says the believers were tested a great test. And then The munafiqun, when they saw that, they said, مَا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا, that Allah and His Prophet has not promised us anything except deception. But when the believers saw that, when they saw the army, right, when we see some of the things happening to the ummah, what should be the believer's response? Right, Allah says in the Qur'an, for those who saw the army, وَلَمَّا رَأَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ قالوا هذا ما وعدنا الله ورسوله وصدق الله ورسوله وما زادهم إلا إيمانا وتسليما. For those who had belief, for those who had belief, and we ask Allah to make us among them, that they, when they saw the armies, the Confederates all gathering, their iman increased in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they said, this is what Allah and His Prophet ﷺ promised us. And they spoke the truth. And for them, their faith increased in Allah. And they increased in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? For them, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh was injured in the Battle of Al-Ahzab. And later he died from those injuries. Now when Sa'd was being buried, the companions were carrying his body. Right? Sa'd is the leader of the Ansar. Right? We said the Ansar, their defining characteristic is ithar and giving preference to others over themselves. Even if it meant giving their life and all their wealth. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh was their leader. When they're carrying his body, the companions commented and said, Ya Rasulullah, his body is light. It's as if we're not even carrying anything. Imagine carrying a piece of paper. But in reality, you're carrying a strong, fully grown man. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, why would it not be light when angels have descended today who have never once descended before to participate in the janazah of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh? Allahu Akbar. This is the status they reached, the Ansar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet ﷺ said about Sa'd radiallahu anhu a statement that would really make your heart shake. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shook at the death of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. The throne of Allah shook at the death of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. The Prophet ﷺ loved the Ansar, and Allah ﷺ loved the Ansar. And for that's why after the battle of Hunayn, when the Muslims were fighting the tribe of Hawazin, and they had a lot of new Muslims in the army, right? And so after the battle, when the Muslims won, when the Prophet ﷺ called people back, and the Ansar came back, and those of Bay'at al-Ridwan came back, and they joined the Prophet, and they got victory, when it came time to give the booty and the spoils of war, the Prophet ﷺ was giving it more to the new Muslims. Those who, some of them who had even run away from the battle. And so the Ansar of Allah saw that, and they said in Sahih Bukhari that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive Allah's apostle, for he is giving the men of Quraysh and leaves us in spite of the fact that our swords are still dripping with blood. The Ansar of Allah, the wings of Islam, who gave victory to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they felt sad. So the Prophet subhanahu wa ta'ala went to them, he heard the news and he went to them, and it was a meeting only for the Ansar, and he let no one else in. And he told them that, ya ma'ashara al-ansar, and he asked them some questions. He said, have I not found you astray and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided you to Islam? Have I not found you poor and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you wealth? And he said, have I not found you divided and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala united your hearts? And they said, yes, of course, ya Rasulullah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, but you could have said, when I asked you these questions, instead of saying yes, you could have said, and he said, you would have spoken the truth, and he said, so I said, that I would have attested to you speaking the truth of this. You could have told me in response that, O Messenger of Allah, did we not find you rejected, and we took you in? Did we not find you helpless, and so we gave you help? Did we not find you a fugitive, and so we gave you comfort? And so at that, some of the Ansar began crying. Tears began flowing in the gathering. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he asked them a question. He said, Ya ma'ashara al-Ansar, O group of Ansar, do you feel anxious for things of this world? The booty that I have given to those who are new to Islam and who needed to make their hearts firm in Islam, do you feel anxious for things of this world? Then he says, Ya ma'ashara al-Ansar, ألا ترضون أن يذهب الناس بالشات والبعير؟ Oh, people of Ansar, do you not feel happy? Are you not pleased that the people will leave with the booties of the war? وتذهبون إلى رحالكم في رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. But you will go back to your homes with the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And at that, the whole gathering was full of tears. And they said, of course. And the Prophet ﷺ then said, Allahumma ighfir lil ansar. Oh Allah, forgive the Ansar, wa li abna'il Ansar, and the children of the Ansar, wa li abna'u abna'il Ansar, and the children of the children of Ansar. Then the Prophet ﷺ said that if the people were to take one way, and the Ansar were to take another way, I would take the way of the Ansar. And he says, wa lawla al-hijrah, la kuntum ri'in min al-Ansar. If it were not for the hijrah, I would consider myself to be one of the Ansar. These are the Ansar of Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ said about them that no one loves them except he is a believer, and no one hates them except that he is a disbeliever. This is the status of the Ansar. And so the Ansar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave victory to Islam. They had their quality was ithar. And so now the Prophet comes out to them 4 or 5 days before his death, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He comes, imagine, I want you to picture the scene. Picture the scene where you know the Prophet is deathly sick, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he would come out and they said, وَقَدَمَهُ تَخُطَّانِ عَلَى الْأَرْضَ, his feet were dragging on the ground because of how sick he was. He would have one arm around Fadl ibn Abbas, one arm around Usama ibn Zayd or Ali ibn Abi Talib, and he would come out, radiallahu anhum, and he would come out and he would be so sick. But one time he came out and he addressed the companions. And he said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ. He said, I swear by the one in whose hand is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's soul. And the Prophet didn't swear by this much. He said, إِنِّي لَأُحِبُّكُمْ. He said, verily, I love you. Imagine a parting message from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I love you, but then he gave a statement that wallahi should ring in our hearts even today. He says that, وَإِنَّ الْأَنصَارِ قَدْ قَضَوْا مَا عَلَيْهِمْ وَبَقِيَ الَّذِي عَلَيْكُمْ. He said, the Ansar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have fulfilled their job. They have done what they've been commanded to do. And now what remains is on your shoulders. What remains is on your shoulder. Those Ansar, was it not who gave wealth, their wealth to those who were in need, even though they were in need? Was it not the Ansar of Allah who gave shelter to those who needed shelter? And Allah says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا أَنصَارَ اللَّهِ. O you who believe, be the helpers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just like the Ansar gave shelter to those who were in need, and gave food to those who were in need, gave warmth to those who were in need, I'm asking you, brothers and sisters, whether you have given or you still want to give, or you have not yet given, whether you are rich or whether you are poor, I'm asking you to open your hearts. To open your hearts and be like the Ansar of Allah. To be like Sa'd ibn Mu'adh Allah, who reached such a high level of in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have that quality of ithar where you give preference to others over yourself, even though you are in need. Don't hold back. Have an open hand when it comes to donating for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give, and Allah subhanahu will give on you. Give, and Allah subhanahu will wipe out your sins. Give, Allah subhanahu will protect you from calamities that may have befallen you. There's so many good characteristics and promises from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who give for the sake of Allah. And in this case, when we're giving to people who need so much, when we're giving medical supplies, all the money collected today goes to medical supplies in Gaza. When you have the opportunity to give a life to someone, Allah says in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَى النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. You saved the life of just one person, and you will be rewarded as if you saved the life of all of mankind. Allahu Akbar. Tijara ma'a Allah. You're doing business with Allah, and Allah never will disappoint you when you do business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So before we end, brothers and sisters, our goal is $150,000, and we are close to it. So I'm asking you before we end, that you give, you click the donate now button. Don't hold back. Don't be scared. Give again if you've given. And I'm talking to everybody. Now before we end, Sheikh Muhammad Sharif, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, has come back on, and he's going to say a few words, encourage us to donate a little further, inshallah ta'ala, and then inshallah we will wrap up the evening. And I know it's been going for a long time, but may Allah reward all of you who have stayed. And inshallah ta'ala, Sheikh Muhammad Sharif is with us now to share a few words with us.
Sheikh Muhammad, can I interrupt before you start? Hello?
Sheikh Wadi. I don't know if Sheikh Muhammad is with us yet, or I know he's going to be speaking in a few minutes.
Yeah, go ahead, Sheikh Wadi.
I just want to say something, inshallah. I didn't know that Sheikh Muhammad, mashallah, starts with 10,000. That's very good. And since he is our president, and I'm supposed to be the vice president, so inshallah, I would like to raise mine to 5,000 to be half of our possibly. So Jazakum Allah khair. I just want
to start an auction between me and you, Sheikh. I was ready.
Sheikh Mohammed, before you begin, I just would like to request those who are listening, if you're going to be sending in a check, if you could tell us the amount that you're going to be sending in, then that we can at least have the number so we'll know what in terms of reaching our goal. So if you're sending in a check, inshallah ta'ala, please let us know. You can I don't know what method would be best. Perhaps you can ask a question on the program, the software on elminar.com. So you could do that, and then those who are checking it could give us an update, inshallah. Tafadhal Sheikh.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه أما بعد. There's a brother in Canada that he's like the number one fundraiser, I would say, in North America, including the U.S. And that is Brother Ahmed Shihab. Everybody in Canada knows him, but he hasn't been fundraising in the U.S. Now, Brother Ahmed Shihab, we went for Hajj together. And he was talking to me about, you know, I listened to his story of why he does so much fundraisers and helping out so many massages and projects and so on and so forth. He said that when he was young, he went to a masjid, and a masjid in Kuwait. And on the, you know, there was a plaque on the masjid that, you know, it said that this masjid was built on the nafaqa, on, you know, the financial aid of, you know, Princess so-and-so, some Kuwaiti sister. And he thought to himself, he wished that he could help and you know, have the opportunity to help in the building of the masajid. I listened to him say that, and I said, subhanAllah, his intention was sincere in this, and now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him and to help in so many buildings of masajid. Between the competition tonight, between Canada and the U.S. and the U.K. is sleeping because, you know, it's gone down, but inshallah ta'ala, you know, I hope and pray that the U.K. can beat us. But between Canada and the U.S., the U.S. won tonight, right? I can hear all the U.S. people in the background going, woo, and shouting, alhamdulillah. And it increases our love. You know, all of us that have donated in Canada increases our love for our brothers and sisters in the U.S., and we pray for you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase in your wealth. All the people that donated here in Canada and the U.K., may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase you in wealth. And actually, as I was listening to Farhan, and for those of you who think Farhan talks like me, when I was listening to him, I thought it was a recording of me. So when Farhan was speaking, something came to my mind about, you know, people, they might hold back from giving their wealth because they're afraid of the upcoming financial crisis. They might lose their job. They might not need, you know, they might be in need of the money tomorrow. And so they hold back. And what I wanted to say is that I wanted to say that if you have that fear, then donate today before tomorrow comes and you won't have the money to donate. And that when tomorrow comes and if the financial crisis is happening tomorrow in your family or something, you will say, alhamdulillah, I gave the money when I had it. Alhamdulillah, that money belongs to me, and with that money, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect me. Ta'arraf ila Allahi farraha ya'arifuka fi shidda. Know Allah during the times of ease, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will know you during the times of difficulty. And believe me, as time goes by and, you know, events are forgotten, you remember what you gave for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I ask you, even though we're coming to a conclusion here, I ask you that, just like Farhan said, there's people who still haven't given. And wallahi, it's for yourself, and it's for you. So whatever you can give, you know, you click on it. Sometimes you don't even know where you're going to get the money from. But you click on it, and you'll find that the next day, inshallah ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will double that money for you, coming from a direction, من حيث لا يحتسب, from a direction you never would have imagined. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for you. The main thing is, as Sheikh Yasser Burgess, you know, the message that he gave, that this is not, you know, the excess wealth that we have. Now is the time, you know, that we hold back on things so that we can help out our brothers and sisters, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khairan to Sheikh Yasser Qadhi, to Dr. Banna, Sheikh Waleed Basyuni, and Brother Farhan. Jazakumullah khairan to all the people in the background who helped put this ilminar together. And we hope, inshallah ta'ala, this is a unique effort to actually do like a fundraiser between these three countries online. And we hope, inshallah ta'ala, that there are some people out there that are going to copy us. And they're going to try doing it as well, inshallah ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that everybody that's donated today to make this event successful, inshallah ta'ala, all of us working together, will get the ajr, inshallah ta'ala, of those who imitate it in the future. Man sanna sunnatan hasana, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever establishes a good sunnah, they get the ajr of what they did and the ajr of those who act upon it in the future without taking away from the reward of those people in the future. And so may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this pioneering creative effort put together. And it wasn't an idea from me, it was an idea from another brother. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from him. Jazakumullah khairan, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And the last thing we do is we end with a dua for our brothers and sisters in Gaza, our mothers, our fathers, our brothers, all of our brothers and sisters there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep them safe, keep them warm, keep them protected, and may they know that, inshallah ta'ala, that we're all our hearts and all our du'as are with them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on their weak and their old and all the oppressed people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. Ameen. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. Okay, so now we're ending up the program, as Sheikh Muhammad mentioned, and so I want to end with a number where we're at. And inshallah ta'ala, the donations might still be coming in. If you haven't given, as Sheikh Muhammad said, give now. And I would like to let you know the updated numbers. And that is that the U.S., alhamdulillah, won the competition. And being from Michigan, not from Windsor, from Qabila Ittihad, I could say I'm proud of the U.S. brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, for winning. Although I love Ittihad, of course, and both sides of the Qabila. But the total amount now is for the U.S., we have, from the U.S., we have, I'm sorry, one second. MashaAllah. From the U.S., we have $113,845. Allahu Akbar. Everybody, wherever you are, say Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Allah opens his doors to whoever he wills and allows those whoever he wills to give for the sake of Allah. And it's really a blessing from Allah that we could even do good deeds like this. It's a blessing from him and him alone. Now from Canada, the numbers are about one-third of what the U.S. has given. They have given $36,978. So the U.S. is at $113,845. Canada is at $36,978. And the U.K. is at $2,505. And so the grand total that we have collected today, alhamdulillah, as we beat our second goal of $150,000, we have collected $153,000. $153,359. So for all of those who have been listening for this long, it's been a long al-minar, I know, it's a special al-minar, but as we mentioned, it's part of history. Inshallah ta'ala, this could be something that can really be recorded in all of our books as may Allah accepts. And I would just like to end by recapping some of the key points that Shaykh made. And that is number one, ad-du'a. Ad-du'a. Don't forget your brothers and sisters in du'a. Every time you go in sajda, make dua for Allah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to alleviate their suffering. Now Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when he made dua in Surah Baqarah, he made dua that, oh Allah, send from the people a messenger. Right? The dua wasn't answered until Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, which was about 3,000 years later. It took 3,000 years for the dua to be answered, right? As one of our Maghrib instructors, Sheikh Suhaib Webb, had mentioned in one of his speeches, right? So it took 3,000 years for it to be answered. So when you're making dua and you're not seeing results, be patient with the dua. It might not come today, but it will come because Allah Ta'ala hears you and He answers the call of those who call to Him. Number two, they said work on yourself, right? Work on yourself. As we close the al-minar and we see what's happening in the news broadcast, don't stop, and we see what's happening in Gaza and our hearts feel sorrow. Look at let us look at our own lives and see what are we doing that could be harming the ummah. What are we doing that are harming, of course, harming ourselves first and foremost, and then harming the ummah? You know the story, and it's a famous story that there was in Bani Israel, there was 70,000 people, right, and there was no rain coming. So Musa alayhi salam made dua for Allah to send the rain, and the rain wasn't sent. And so he was told that there's a man amongst the 70,000 people who have been sinning against Allah for 40 years. And because of him, the rain is being withheld. So Musa alayhi salam made an announcement, this man who has been sinning for 40 years, get out. Come out of the group and leave. So that way the rain may come to us and we may be saved. The man, hearing this announcement, did not want to embarrass himself in front of everybody. So he there made a sincere dua to Allah, and you see the power of dua. He made a dua to Allah that, oh Allah, I have sinned against you for 40 years, but I ask you now for your forgiveness. So please forgive me. And so Allah Ta'ala forgave him. And then without anybody coming out, the clouds of rain came. And Musa said, he asked Allah Ta'ala, how is it that the rain came when no one left our group? And he was told that the man repented and was forgiven. And so Musa asked Allah, oh Allah, allow me to see this man who you forgave. And he said, Allah Ta'ala told him that if I protected him when I kept him covered when he was sinning, would I not keep him covered when he repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So brothers and sisters, because of our sins, our ummah may be suffering. Because of our sins, our ummah may be suffering. So look at ourselves, let us look at ourselves and work on becoming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lastly, I end by this, and this is again something I learned from Sheikh Suhaib Wahab in the Secret Scrolls class. He said, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah Ta'ala says in the verse about Sulaiman alayhi salam and you know the magic and whatnot, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمُوا لَمَنِ اشْتَرَاهُ مَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ وَلَبِئْسَ مَا شَرَوْا بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمْ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says that, and they knew that the buyers of magic would have no share in the happiness of the hereafter, and vile was the price for which they did sell their souls, if they but knew. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمُوا, and he ended the verse by saying, لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. They knew. Then he said, if they only knew. Why? Because he mentioned that they had knowledge, but they didn't act on the knowledge. Right? So we've listened from Sheikh Muhammad, from Sheikh Yasser, and Sheikh Waleed, hafidhahumullah ta'ala, and we've learned from them. And so let us now act on what we've learned. Let us make dua, let us try and change ourselves. And I would like to again thank everyone for coming on behalf of Al-Maghrib Institute and on behalf of Islamic Relief Worldwide for participating in this event, and alhamdulillah ta'ala making it a success. Nasr al reward all of you and all the time you've spent on this seminar. And inshallah ta'ala, we hope that inshallah you can continue donating to Islamic Relief and continue coming to Al-Maghrib classes and learning from our shuyukh, and inshallah ta'ala improving yourself. Jazakumullah khair. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.